Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh my God.
It's code. You should watch Law and Order. Horses, heroin, grass, marijuana. The horse likes to run around on the grass. The heroin likes to run around on the marijuana. Wine, alcohol, like beer or wine. Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Wasn't quite sure where that that opening ended. So
and the show begins.
Just by chance, I figured I'd start talking. Hope I did that right. Kevin, was that okay? Okay, he's nodding yes.
Yeah, when in doubt, just start
talking. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here.
Web radio
at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. So, guys.
Different.
The lockout continues. not a lot coming out of Gillette Stadium in terms of news. Anything that you can think of since Thursday that we need to touch on as far as strictly Patriots news?
Just
the compensatory picks were dealt.
Yeah.
Yes. The Patriots did not receive any.
They did not receive any.
Is that the only thing I can think of?
Well, Danny Wood had advanced in his Madden, right?
Yes. Yes, he beat out...
Steve Johnson
from the Bills, and now he's going up against
Hakeem Nicks of the Giants.
I like his chances,
but don't take it for granted, as I told Andy earlier. Let's keep that campaign going.
Right.
Well, I like his chances in every round.
From cut to cover.
Yep.
So to cut.
So that's something to talk about, although we just did, and that's pretty much all you can say about it.
Go vote now.
We already got a whole show out of that. Yep.
All right.
But the supplemental picks, or the compensatory picks, as they call them, Patriots got,
as they like call to call them.
It's what they are.
I call them supplemental.
Well, they're different. That's a different draft.
That's true.
Very, very Eric right there.
And he gives it the. That's true.
But Patriots did not get them, and the reason being because they really didn't lose any free agents that they didn't receive equal value in who they signed.
Right.
You know? So, for example, Carolina had the best one because they lost Julius Peppers.
Right.
And no one that they brought in
was Julius Peppers.
Was equal value, you know? It's still a little gray on how they determine that value, but that's the gist of it. So the bad news is they didn't get any. The good news is they didn't really lose any free agents in order to get some. So,
And they don't need any more picks.
The Jets didn't get any either.
That's good.
And
that's good.
Miami and Buffalo each got a seventh rounder.
Okay,
and that's it.
Yeah, big deal.
So that's
well, we know how valuable you can't the trade them rounders anyway. Are. Now.
Well, we'll have all those by the time they trade down out of all these spots they're at. Yeah.
I have
now.
Been...
Pat Kerwin is proposing that 28 will be hot because teams are going to try to get a quarterback before day one ends, and then 33 will be hot for the reasons we've talked about as teams restack their board and maybe go after somebody. So now the Patriots could trade 28 and 33, and he has them with 9 of the first 92 picks they could end up with, or 8 of the first 92 picks. They're getting in that sweet spot. We're going to have all these late seconds, early thirds. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Well,
but if they get the guy
Robert
at 17,
Quinn will be sacking somebody's ass.
Right. If they get the guy at 17,
oh, if it's
I'm
Quinn,
fine.
I'll shut the bleep up.
I'm fine.
Yeah. I doubt it.
Don't tease us.
I'm going to make a guess right here, and usually. Or prediction.
And they're always right.
They mostly are right.
I've often said that.
I am going to say that the Patriots
walkout
will,
ended a month ago.
Will move up in the first round.
Oh. Yeah, I think they will too.
Oh, you do?
To get the pass rusher we've been desiring for the last 3 years?
I don't know who they're going to get. But my prediction is they will move up in the first round.
If they move up, I'll be happy for the most part.
Well,
now,
if they move
up to 10 and take J.J. Watt,
exactly.
I won't be happy again.
Exactly. It all depends on who they take. Right.
For the most part, if they move up, the top 10 or 12 prospects in this draft, I'll be happy if they come away with one of them.
All right. A lot of talk about what you can trade and what you can't trade in the draft. I've been reading that. A lot of tweeting going on about what you can and can't do. You can trade future draft picks in this draft, just to be clear about that.
Yeah, when did it become unclear? Because we thought that
it
all
did,
along.
No, because I was even confused about it. I think it did become a little unclear. But you guys
because I think
set that all
were,
straight like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
People were concerned about, oh, if the lockout lasts till the next draft and there's no draft in 2012, then you lose those picks.
And if
it's
the world blows up, if
long.
The Mayans are right, you'll lose those picks.
No, there was definitely a feeling. Now, obviously, it was incorrect. But there was a perception out there that you could not trade picks into the future.
But where did that come from?
I don't know. But it definitely was out there because I'm telling you, I got it. I was confused, and you guys set me straight like 2 weeks ago. You guys
actually
explained the whole at your own risk thing that Eric just.
I actually
about.
Learned something I did not know. Is did you know you're only allowed to trade 3 years out? So as of right now, you can trade 11, 12, and 13.
Right.
As soon as the draft starts, you can then trade 14 because. You're actually in the 11 draft, so 14 becomes the 3 years out.
That's interesting.
I had not known that.
I also did not know that you're really not allowed to make a trade for a player to be named later or, you know, future or past considerations.
Right.
They deem that a way to sort of circumvent the waiver process.
And especially this year.
Mm.
I mean, you can really circumvent the process.
Yeah, you can't.
By doing
well, you can't
it.
Really make trades for players now anyway because of the lockout, but this is a special circumstance. But I think in general, I was surprised by that.
How often, though, do we see, to Andy's point about the 3 years out, how often, though, do we see trades involving picks that are more than even 2 years
very
off?
Very rarely.
More than the next year?
Two years.
Two is about the, as far as you
yeah,
right. normally
I can't see. Think of threes and beyond. Well, not beyond, obviously. But.
Chances are the GM making the trade's not going to be there.
I mean, I think the Herschel Walker trade, I think, had some pretty late picks in that. But I don't know if it was any
pre-
No, it's a couple of years.
Yeah, so. I think they're still getting picks.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
That's all we got.
I got something.
Address.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I got into a little
Andy's gonna pissing
mini
match.
Twitter fight last night.
With?
Rob Rang's underling at NFL Draft Scout.
Yeah.
Chad Reuter, I guess it is. R-E-U-T-E-R. Is that Reuter?
Reuter.
Sure. Reuter.
Reuter.
I don't know.
Reader,
Wronger.
He's clearly the number two. Rang is the guy. Rang is our guy. He's the man.
So
there.
You rung up Rang, and he gave you Reuter,
and he was wrong.
I basically they came out with an updated mock yesterday, both of them. So I just retweeted it, but their picks were at 17. Rang had J.J. Watt, and Reuter had Cameron Jordan, and then at 28 they both had Danny Watkins, which is becoming a very popular pick. The 26-year-old we've talked about. So I just retweeted and wrote, 2 mocks, 4 Pats picks, 0 pass rushers. Immediately, the Chad Reuter guy, not true! I had Martez Wilson, outside linebacker, 3-4, at the 33rd pick. Well, that's not what I was talking about, you idiot. First of all, you idiot, you put a link to a mock.
that's two idiots right there for those
of you. You put a link to a mock that I've printed. It was a first-round mock. Nowhere on this mock did it have the 33rd pick. So I could not have known that Martez Wilson was your pick at 33. Secondly, Martez Wilson is not a pass rusher.
He's an inside
He's
linebacker.
A jag of all trades. He might play inside.
Call him out. Did you retweet that?
Yeah, but it's hard to do when
he only
retweet,
has 140 characters.
But you don't
he
even really because
if you couldn't get the necessary idiots in 140 characters.
In all seriousness, when you retweet
I couldn't call him names in all seriousness.
No, but so you
There's
don't
not
have
enough
to,
characters.
No, but you take
So
out,
I put no elite first round rusher or something. I because you got nothing to work with there. Because by the time you retweet, you're only down to like 20 characters.
No, but you be selective with what you repeat what he
I know,
said.
But I wanted it to still tell the story.
No, but what you want to get out there is the fact that you know that Martez is an inside guy. And this guy,
he may play outside, but the bottom line is he's got like 8 career sacks. He's not a pass rusher. He could be an outside linebacker like Jermaine Cunningham. I'm not sold Jermaine Cunningham's a pass rusher. He's going to play outside linebacker. Doesn't mean he's a pass rusher. I want a pass rusher. And Martez Wilson is not a pass rusher. And regardless, he's a second round pick. As I said, 2 mocks, 4 picks, 0 pass rushers. It was very simple math that Chad Ruder failed. Okay, no further questions.
No further idiots.
Mom,
but they do have an interesting, further idiots. We can discuss their mocks a little bit.
The overall
mock
thing
their mocks?
That I get,
no,
I think it's important for our fans and for draftniks in general to know about when these guys are just blowing smoke and they don't know what they're talking about.
I'll give
about.
You another example.
There's one that got under Indian eye skin yesterday.
Yeah, I think we have a duty to our fans to
tell them how great
guys.
We are.
No, not necessarily, but to out these guys. You know, because
yeah, that's what we want.
It just seems like if you just know the names and where they came from, you're automatically an expert. And that's not fair.
Well, this guy also, I was doing some more research, and every time I read about Wilson, all the positives seem to come from this guy. Now I think he's like in with the agent or something, because he actually had a story on potential top 10 picks or surprise top 10 picks with Martez Wilson going at like 7 to the Niners or something. He's not going to be a top 10 pick.
Oh, boy.
The guy is just a... As I said, jag of all trades. I'm not even sure he's an elite anything. But there's some weird tie there. But to get back to your thing, there was also something that annoyed me that said, you know, the best part about, I don't know who wrote it, but the best part about a Mike Mayock conference call or discussion is you always hear about players that no one else is talking about and no one else has brought up, blah, blah, blah.
Like
Tywan Jones, running back, Eastern Washington. Well, if you listened to our podcast 2 weeks ago, we raved about him. We talked about him forever.
Fred, do you want to know the real?
I mean, we're Jags. We don't know
anybody. Of this, Andy, go right ahead and take the shot at me.
You're fat.
I
wait a minute.
Actually, was I may have been the first one to see the film on him. I went to Andy before
tremendous.
He had even seen him. I didn't even go to the combine. I don't do anywhere near the extensive research that these two do. And I knew who Tywan Jones was.
Right.
And we have to find out. We have to wait till. Mike Mayock tells
now
us.
Now he's a real candidate.
And we, you know,
because Mayock said his
I'm
name.
I'm blaming it on Mayock. It's not his fault that someone else said this about Mayock.
Oh, but he, feel,
I'm
he sure feels that he way
would,
too, though.
I'm sure he would concur.
Yes,
he would. Sure he would.
You know, I mean, like, I don't even follow these guys, and I knew who Tywan Jones is, even though I can't say his name now.
Well, Mayock did have him tied for 17th on his list of running backs, so that's probably why.
On his list of top 5 running backs?
Have you noticed that? Have we ever discussed that with you?
What's that?
Mike Mayock's top 5 that always scroll across NFL Network.
They're end up
1, 2, 3, 4
players.
And then tied for 5, there's 4 guys. Grow a pair, pick a top 5, and move on.
I think out of the 8 positions that he had a tie for 5th in 5 of them.
And you know it's because he's afraid to leave a guy out and then look bad later.
Sure.
Because then someone will say he wasn't.
I had him.
I'd be okay if he changed.
Someone would say,
change your top 5.
Right. Mayock didn't even have him in his top 5, and he ends up going.
It's actually better to change him because it shows, like, I've done a little bit more research or I found this out about him. Something came up.
Conditions on the grounds change.
Right.
You can change your mind.
But make a definitive.
But don't have 8 guys in your top 5.
Speaking of, the draft info, your guy, Nolan Nowicki, I guess.
Last week's rant.
I guess had a really scathing
hatchet job. Absolute hatchet job.
Just talking about, so people know what we're talking about, in their guide, which I guess just came out.
Which I need to go look for.
He ripped Cam Newton on a personal level.
Yeah.
Just forget about his abilities, just his comportment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
And questioned his
idiotic
ability to lead a team and win a locker room, which I said to Paul, I find laughable. Because the fact is, you can question his ability to read defenses. We don't know if he can do that because he didn't do it. You can question how serious he is. Is he going to work? Is he dedicated to the profession? Or is he dedicated to becoming an icon and an entertainer? But one thing you can't question is, he played for 2 teams, each for a year, over the last 2 years, and he led those teams to national titles. One at junior college and one at Auburn. I find it hard to believe the guy can't win a locker room, can't lead, everybody hates him, he's phony. And yet 2 teams rallied around him to the point where they won a national title.
Now, Fred, you made the...
That's a fact.
It's
not
a brilliant marketing on Pro Football Weekly to take probably the most high-profile guy in the draft, release a really scathing review of the guy so everybody now wants to see the guide.
But I don't think they need to do that.
Well, they didn't used to when Bushbaum was the writer. Now with Naraki and his questionable evaluation skills.
That's a good point.
But I'm with you, Fred.
It's real football.
The personal thing, like, I don't care if you want to rip Cam Newton up and down. He can't make this throw. He can't make this read. He doesn't
like
know how
to combine.
Fine. All that to me is when you're telling me that everything about him is fake based on your observation. Again, that's your observation. But now you're telling me that he's not a good person. He can't do this. He can't do that. He doesn't have the ability to lead a locker room. What are you basing that on? You can't possibly know him personally well enough to make that determination. You can't.
Yeah.
And he very well may be right with his assessment of him as a person.
Everything could have been 100% accurate.
No,
I'm just saying that from afar, watching a guy throw the football, I can't tell that you know, it was a paragraph worth of ripping.
Right.
I can't tell those things.
And he just because he fails doesn't mean he's right. He could fail because he can't read defenses.
Exactly.
He's not an NFL quarterback. He's not
committed.
An athlete.
Right.
He's not committed.
I mean,
all those things.
If it ends up being like Ryan Leaf and he fails because he can't be a human being in
the
locker room, that's different.
But as I said to you, the evidence we have, the hard evidence of the last 2 years, flies in the face of that.
Yeah, I found it awfully odd that you would take that personal kind of – he's not a good person, so he can't be a good quarterback.
Because there's enough to rip.
He might not be a good person, by the way. I mean, there's certainly enough evidence out there to suggest that he may not be. Mm.
And he certainly looks like, to me, he's a little phony. The smile and everything. He looks like he turns that smile on and he's marketing himself
and all
that.
You mean he's Brett Favre.
But I really don't care what a draft expert says about a guy's smile. I really don't. That's not why I'm reading a draft preview guide.
That's why the credibility of that guide kind of died with Joel Bushbaum. It's living off Joel Bushbaum, let's be honest.
Okay.
Another Patriots or quasi-Patriots-related item, Freddie, that I thought was a little strange, very minor. The report last night that Fred Taylor wants to play 2 more years.
Yeah.
2 more years.
Basically using the theory of, I didn't really play the last two, so I got
so
two more years left.
Just throwing it out there. I don't think the Patriots would have any interest
whatsoever.
I guess he was talking to a paper down south, North Carolina paper or something like
no,
that.
No, it's the Florida Central. Times Union.
Florida Times Union. Yeah. Okay.
Which is their, like the...
How'd you get him to North Carolina?
I don't know. I know it was like either North and Carolina or south of that.
So it could have been the Brazil Times. That's
basically,
south of
it was the Mason-Dixon line in Virginia. So, I don't know.
But, yeah, I don't expect him to be back here. I'd even be surprised if he plays anywhere else next year. But he seems to – I don't know. But because he told us in the locker room late last season that he promised his wife he was done after this year, and that was it. And he even started to feel like he wasn't –
it's tough for these – I mean, there's rumors that Brett Favre might go to Carolina.
Where'd you hear that?
It was on the Twitter. You know?
Oh, my God.
I actually sort of agree with Fred Taylor. I think for however many times he's capable of carrying the football, he can still play in the NFL. The problem is that could be five times, 12. But, like, physically, he still has the speed, the power.
Right.
He has it for that short stint, whatever it may be. And I think that's what he's seeing. He's teased by that. Well, if I could just stay healthy, I get another season.
I agree.
Because it's not like he can't do it anymore. He doesn't have the burst. It's just he can't physically get on the field.
Yeah, it's easy for all of us that have never been there to say, wow, geez, why don't these guys know when to pull the plug?
Right.
But
that's your life.
That's what they've done their whole
lives. There's nothing after
they
that.
They play at the highest level.
Come on.
No.
What do you mean there's
nothing after that?
Hope Fred Taylor's not listening.
I have spoken to Olympic medalists who the U.S. Olympics
Eric
have.
Lame story?
No, the U.S. Olympics have therapists sitting on call for these people after their time is done because they don't know what to do. They spent their whole lives preparing for the Olympics, and when the Olympics are done...
So find another thing that you enjoy and go after that.
It sounds easy, Eric, but that's the point. It's not. It's really, really hard.
Okay, I agree with that.
I just think it's really
hard, but there's nothing else.
In their mind.
I think it's all about playing. Like they love playing, and that's what they want to do.
Right.
And as long as they feel like they can continue to compete, they're going to do it.
You don't think that Michael Jordan is still, gambling on the golf course and going to the casinos? Wow.
That's a little different. He has a problem.
He has an addiction.
You're going down a whole different road.
He has to have that adrenaline that you get from competing.
Oh, yeah, and I think they're all addicted to that. But Jordan has a legitimate separate problem.
He's got a Jones.
Yeah.
He's got a definite addiction.
But can we get back to this mock? You want to talk a little mock? I like mocks.
Sure.
You don't want them. Well, I think it's interesting. Both of them have a quarterback going number one overall. But
different guys.
Ranger, the smart one, has Blaine Gabbert going number one overall. Reuter, the dumb one, has Cam Newton going number one overall.
I thought he was an idiot.
Well, it's idiot. They're the same.
Idiots yeah,
I
are like, dumb.
Right. I want them to
so
be consistent.
So much for getting people on our show, huh?
Well, no, we don't get people on our show. They go on Below show. Doesn't he have a draft show or something? Or used
we,
to?
We can have people on our show, too.
We don't need people on our show. Oh. Below does.
Oh. they... When does Below start his show?
I don't know. Did it start? Is it starting? Is he going to have
it? I thought
he
starts in April, right?
Okay,
I don't know.
So Friday.
Kevin, do we know that answer to that? He's busy with iTunes.
And these drafts actually fall in line with, I saw Gil Brandt talking a little bit, that pretty much everyone knows the top 9 or 10 prospects. No one has any idea where they're going. There is no consensus about slotting people. And, you know, we're now getting close to a month away from the draft, and 1 to 10 could go a million different ways.
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing draft. There's
like
no
Julio
doubt about
Jones.
It.
Remember when we talked about Julio Jones? I had read some stuff that the Bengals were intrigued and they had sent their position coach to work him out.
Right.
Ranger has Julio Jones as the first receiver taken going number 4 overall to the Bengals.
To the Bengals.
I think that's a disgrace. Because AJ Green to me, and then he has AJ Green to the Redskins, whereas Reuter. Idiot has Green going to the Bengals and then Jones going to the Redskins. So the exact same idea, but just all over the place.
Now, if the quarterback from Stanford had come out, Luck,
would he have been number one overall?
He
would be the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. I believe he would have,
Yeah. So it's kind of good he didn't. So now it's a little bit more intrigue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might not be good for the Panthers. Or...
It's not what we're worried about. We're worried about entertainment value.
No, but this
Thursday night.
Don't you think this draft, I mean, it's interesting from a Patriots perspective because if you are considering trading up, you have no idea what's happening. I mean, other years usually know, okay, this team's going to take, you know, you could slot 5 of 10, say, and now you have to worry about 4 others and then you get to your player. It's all up in the air.
Is the name Robert Quinn in any of those?
Robert Quinn goes to Houston at number 11 in the smart Rob Rang draft.
Mm-hmm.
And to St. Louis at number 14 in the idiot draft.
See, so you're trading up.
He is well within the range of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
And does that concern you, though, Andy? Because.
No, it excites us.
You think he's so.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, but why is he
for the
in
Patriots?
The 10 to 15 range?
He didn't play last year and he has a brain tumor.
But does that concern you?
No,
I mean,
neither
it,
concerns
it
me.
It seems to be concerning these draft experts.
Which is
I'm
good
not
for
sure
the Patriots.
About that.
No, I think he's perfect for the Patriots. He's not perfect for
every team. Yeah, he might not be perfect for every team, but he's perfect for the team that needs a pass rusher.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's a 4-3 guy. I don't know. I mean, I think he is. I think he could play 3-4, 4-3, pass rusher and all that. But... I think
some
he's
teams
perfect
might
for
not.
The Patriots.
And
as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker.
I mean, everybody has Von Miller in the top 5, correct?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He seems to be the
I would rather have if I had my choice between those two and I was the Patriots, I would rather take Robert Quinn. And I don't want to, you know, intrude on your bromance.
It's okay.
As I already told one
There's room on the
SPFW
Quinn,
guy
Quinn
who,
train.
Who accused us all of having a bromance. I said, whoa, 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 let's not put anybody in the Indy Hot category when it comes to the bromance for Robert Quinn.
No, the thing that worries me, Fred, is when he's available to the Patriots and they don't take him.
Right.
then I'm going to be cranky.
Then you're going to resign, like Paul did in 2001.
But, I mean, this whole medical thing with the tumor, is it for real? Is
not
it something to be concerned about at all?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That could be something to be concerned about, yeah.
But I'm assuming, yeah, if the Patriots pass on him and we find out later the doctors didn't sign off on it, okay, I'm fine.
I'm going
to
tell you right now.
I don't want you handing $15 million to a guy who could die tomorrow.
If the tumor is a concern for teams, then he's not going to go in the first round.
Right.
Right.
He's probably going to be like, you know, Sergio Kindle and just like have a free fall. Because they're not going to be the only team.
See what you did there.
Oh.
They're not going to be the only team that says, well, that tumor could be a problem. There's going to be a lot of teams that say that.
But he claims
that's
literally
not why he's 11-14 on mock draft.
Hasn't had a headache, hasn't had anything since they removed it.
And he's played.
Chunk of it.
And he played 2 seasons before that.
Yes. And should have had a 3rd.
I mean, after that. But so he has a history of being on the field with that.
4 years removed from the surgery.
Could there be any if he does fall to in the 20s or top of the second round, is that the reason?
Oh, it could be.
Probably.
I would think.
Probably, because the whole suspension thing, I mean, that's going to hurt. It might hurt all the other Carolina guys, too, who were involved. Yeah. But
did he have his pro day yet, Quinn?
I don't think so.
What I'm trying to get at, has the scouts seen enough to assure them that he's the same guy he was.
Oh yeah,
the year before.
They all liked what they saw at the combine and all his drills. Even his 40, I'm now seeing somewhere at 4.7. Now some are saying they had him at 4.62, 4.64 at the combine. If he falls, I would think it would be the brain tumor thing. The other one thing, there was some talk that attitude-wise, he didn't really care that he missed his last year and that he was cocky. Oh, I'll still be a first-round pick anyway. I'll still be this. He downplayed that. I didn't really get that vibe at the combine. I think if he slides significantly, it's because of the brain tumor, and some teams maybe didn't sign off on it. You'll get those reports. As we get like a week away from the draft, some reporter will say, I know two teams who don't even have Robert Quinn on their board right now. They've taken him off their board.
All right, Eric and Andy.
That was hypothetical. I wasn't saying that. I don't want that to be
misconstrued. Von Miller is gone. Robert Quinn is gone. Ooh. Who's the next pass rusher on your list for the Patriots?
Tough question. Yeah. Kerrigan, I'm kind of Alden growing
Smith,
on me.
Maybe. Kerrigan and Alden Smith would be my
Alden
next
Alden Smith, intriguing. I'm just getting to watch my Justin Houston tape. I'm mildly intrigued by him because he played 3-4 outside linebacker last year. I'll have a better answer on Thursday.
I haven't started watching
Not
the linebackers
Akeem
yet.
Not Akeem Ayers, though.
But
I don't care
for
the Thursday show. Akeem Ayers
is dropping.
He no cares for Akeem Ayers.
And I'm assuming that if Von Miller somehow dropped to the Patriots, you'd be interested.
Yes. He's a pass rusher.
Yeah, but if the two of them are both available,
I would want Quinn.
Yeah.
Like Quinn.
You think he's that much of a perfect fit?
Yes, because I think he can play the run. I think he has the size.
I think
he has the speed. I think he has the length, the girth, everything you want.
For real.
Okay. Let's see.
By the way, we've been joking. You know, Fred, that we have a scout named Robert Quinn, right?
I know I didn't.
And we've just been joking. There'd be two Robert Quinns in the football department here at the Patriots.
Bobby Quinn?
Yeah, two Bob Quinns.
And like Quinn.
Let's see. Kevin's here with lunch. He's getting somebody from New York Baby emailed from the last show. He said,
from New York Baby?
Talk more sports.
Or New York Baby.
Talk more sports instead of talking an hour on non-sports issues. Arg, it's annoying.
Please. Yeah, go away. You're
the reason
New
the
York.
Show is as successful as it is
well,
is because
see,
we talk about
well,
other
see,
things.
See, that's the thing. Like, you know, if you have Hager? Never listened to this show and you stumble upon it, it's like, oh, Patriots football talk. And it's the first time you clicked on and, you know, we're talking about something crazy. You know, you might think that this is all we do. But you can't, you know, expect a regularly scheduled show to be talking about exactly what you want the minute that you click in. It's just not fair. You know,
not realistic.
That's true. 2 hours twice a week. Paul, tune in, New York Baby.
We do have some kind of news, and I apologize for being remiss, but John Morris was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame the Veteran Selection Committee, which was formed this year. And John, obviously, perennial all-star in the AFL, and when they merged in the NFL, became a pro bowler, and, you know,
as a center,
center, and, you know, you have to say he's the best center in Patriots history based on that. I mean, I don't know, but John Morris is now going to go into the Hall of Fame, and Paul and I attended the Hall of Fame induction committee meeting on Friday, and they came up, we've all voted on who we would like to see inducted in general, and gave our ballots in. And we don't know who the three nominees will be this year, but we're all pretty confident that number one will be Drew Bledsoe.
And number one will be Drew Bledsoe once it goes through the fan voting as well.
Right. This is the first year he's eligible.
Who were some of the other names that were tossed out? Do you remember?
Well, you know, guys like Leon Gray were talked
Parcells
about.
Parcells is a new
Houston
one.
Houston Antoine were talked about. Bill Parcells, Chuck Fairbanks. Was talked about. Russ Francis, Raymond Claiborne. But I think
is this the first year for Parcells?
Yes.
Yep. So and I think eventually Parcells will probably go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it'll take a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that
could take him quite a while.
Well, when you
down that run of lists that's coming with the Rodney Harrisons, Willie McGinnists, Teddy Bruschi, Troy Brown.
Do you think
one of those
would,
a year? I mean, it's going to be.
Do you think
a while.
He would show up?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
You do? No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
And I think Bill will announce him
when the border war kind of ended, and they had that conference
That's
call.
That's a good ceremony.
I remember listening to that with you guys, and Parcells even said, you know, I can really picture myself coming up to New England and watching a game from a box, and He did mention a box.
Yeah, not the seats.
Not the seats. But, you know,
you unbelievable.
I mean, Parcells has some good memories from this place, not just as a head coach, but he was also an assistant coach. He was a linebacker's coach.
Yeah.
He stole the defense to bring it to New York with
him. You know, so, you know, I definitely think he would attend.
I do
and I think that it would be a really good event. It would be great if somehow they could have done Bledsoe and Parcells together. Because I think they have a
why not? I'm sure you could manipulate it if you wanted. If someone were,
they have a good
inclined
affection for each other. But I think Parcells will go in on his own eventually.
Yeah,
as he should.
But don't you think it'd be cool if Bill introduced him? Belichick.
That would be interesting.
I think he would consider it.
People would pay to see that.
Now I don't. You do it at a preseason game, so I guess he probably couldn't because you know he's working.
Oh, you'd have
that
to
night
set up a. I think.
Well,
I always
Bill's
argue
not here anymore. And if it's that late into the future.
See, I always argued, and I lost the argument that the Hall of Fame induction should be its own event in early summer or midsummer when there's nothing else going on.
In that late June, early July.
Yeah, around
but
that.
It's a tough argument. It's great for Bill Parcells and Drew Bledsoe, sure.
Right.
But what about when John Morris or...
Well, you build it up to, you know, you set the precedent so that when you have that big event, you know, it's already been established. And I understand the argument against it, but that's what I feel. I don't feel it should be mixed in with... You know, pregame
you think
of,
it gets
a,
lost?
Of a preseason game.
You think it gets lost?
I do.
In that?
I really do.
Yeah, a little.
I agree with your overall premise. I don't think it would work.
And the argument for it is that there are already people yeah here.
But
what?
I do think it gets
attend
lost. But yeah. I think if you think it gets lost now, have it in June.
But I,
and see what happens.
Yeah,
when no one comes.
You're saying it wouldn't work because a lot of people wouldn't show up.
I don't think anybody would.
You know,
and you know, like Andy said, with the rare exceptions of big names like Parcells or Troy Brown or Bledsoe,
yeah,
Brady. I don't think that you would get a lot of people for Sam Cunningham last year,
right,
for example. I don't think there'd be too many people there.
Well, maybe you have to embellish the event, make it more than just that.
That's what they do by having it in the preseason game.
No, but maybe have a
to
concert
make sure that,
or
to
something.
To make sure that people are there.
You know?
Make it some sort of also charitable event,
yeah,
like they had the gala, but different.
I just really feel it should be its own event.
I kind of agree with you.
Well, how about like they used to do the golf tournament?
Yep.
Maybe you coincide the charitable arm of the golf tournament with the induction ceremony.
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something like that, you probably could.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So that's just my two cents. But anyway, Paul and I went to that, and you know, we're allowed to say who we voted for.
Yes.
Okay. So I voted for Bledsoe, number one, and then I think I voted for Houston Antoine and Leon Gray.
You think?
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Antoine and Gray. So
Paul voted for Drew and Bledsoe and 11.
They wouldn't let me.
Yeah, you had to have three different people.
There was a
ditto
Perillo.
Marks. A ditto.
There was
those
a,
look like 11.
There
so
was a Perillo.
He voted for Drew Bledsoe, Andrew Bledsoe. And Andy Bledsoe.
But I did vote for Bledsoe, Chuck Fairbanks, and Russ Francis. Those are my three. I blogged about it. Brooklyn Matt somehow stopped making fun of you. Now he's all over me.
Why? What did you do?
Like I'm too good to blog. I don't know. I don't
usually
really
that's the case.
But... No, not the case.
Too lazy to blog.
Okay. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And Eldridge is patiently...
Yes.
Held on. Hey, Eldridge, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Long time, no year.
Yeah, how are
you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Driving through Louisiana.
All right,
you know,
okay.
My Patriots have their own. Waving at the Saints fan, you know how that go, right?
Nice.
question for you. I heard you earlier talking about Patriots might move up. Let me throw one at you.
Go ahead.
One Bill, he like cornerbacks. You'll see him moving up, getting Peterson for LSU, because he's a kick returner.
Ooh.
Play safety also.
No, I don't see that happening. Because I just don't see the huge need there. And I know everybody said, oh, you guys didn't see the huge need and they drafted McCourty. But, yeah, now you really have McCourty. You have Bodden. You have theoretically two starters.
That's a lot of money
in
Bodden, too.
You have some depth at safety.
Plus, we didn't see the need for the cornerback last
year.
They didn't trade up for him.
They traded down for him.
But, yeah, I don't see that happening. A lot of people believe he is one of the top couple overall prospects in the draft, and I might agree with that. And I think he's... As a return man, he's tremendous, absolutely tremendous. He didn't do that until last year, but he is phenomenal.
Yeah, but
I'm scared of him on defense.
get him on defense.
Yeah, he's really big, obviously, 222, 225, whatever. And everybody says, oh, he might be a safety. I'm always hesitant in these tweener guys, these big corners that people project maybe as a safety. You know, it works out sometimes, but it doesn't work out sometimes. And I don't know if you want to trade up to the top 10 to get a safety down the road.
No, not a safety. I'm sorry. He will play corner for a while. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Unless he's too big and stiff, like Richard Seymour.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's going to be an elite corner.
No, he should be an elite corner.
I think he'll be a good player on defense. I think he'll be a great returner immediately. I think he will be an impact return man.
All right.
But I don't think the Patriots would trade up to get him.
But you think he'd dare trade up and get J.J. Watts?
Oh, please, no.
Hell no.
No, 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 no. No.
I heard you say about Robert Quinn. You like Quinn.
There we go.
I love Quinn.
Now you're talking about
Quinny. That's what I want.
Quinny is what you want. Okay. One more question, I'm going to let it go.
Right. Not the wheel. You're going to let us go, right?
Yeah, you pulled over, right?
The wheel go. No,
are you actually driving?
Drive. Yes, sir.
Oh, well, pull over, man.
I got a question.
Yeah. Safe.
Before you have your last question, I got one for you. Where is the best truck stop food in the country?
Best truck stop food in the country?
Yeah.
Got to be in Baytown, Texas at Flying Jake.
Flying Jake?
Flying Jake.
Jake's?
The fat guy across me, Paul, Jake, nods his head like he's been there.
No, I'm filing it away for next time.
Because they used to have Mama's Kitchen in there, but now they got Denny's.
Oh.
And it ain't all Denny's food either, though.
Oh.
So they got a pretty good selection. Everything's good over there.
Now, where is that in relation to, say, Dallas or Houston, teams we might have to play?
15 miles outside of Houston, 15, 20 miles outside of Houston.
Maybe we'll go next time.
Everything is 15 to 20 miles outside of Houston.
Houston is actually 15 or 20 miles out of Houston.
About right, on 10 West.
Oh, okay.
Exit 789.
All right. What's your last question now?
Question, okay. Since we don't have a deep threat, right, you don't see them trying to get one?
Yeah, sure. Yes, I do. I think they'll draft a receiver in the first couple rounds, in the first four
probably
to
in
six
the second
picks.
Round.
Yeah. Unless they go up and get A.J. Green. You talk about trading up. If they trade up to get A.J. Green, I'd be happy.
That's what I'm thinking about. Would it shock you if they did that?
I would be shocked, but I think he's the best prospect in the draft. I think he's going to be a phenomenal playmaker in the NFL.
So at least Brady had one more target.
Oh, he would have a tremendous target, and I think he would make Welker and Branch and Edelman and Hernandez and Gronkowski all better because I think he's a great playmaker down the field, great athlete.
Yeah. Catches everything, too.
I saw some on PFW. Somebody threw up a question. Who would you take, Ocho or Mouse? So I'm like, where'd that come from?
That came from my little brain.
Itty bitty brain.
And what's your answer?
Mouse.
Exactly. Okay. That's the right answer.
Mouse. We don't want to take. Forget Ocho. I'll take Mouse back in a heartbeat.
Okay. Right. That's, Ocho's playing soccer now anyway.
I heard he might make it as a reserve.
Yeah, practice squad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, got to run. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Aldridge.
All right.
Keep
on
trucking. Enjoy that big Jake's.
All right.
Two losers on the show.
We're going to take a break. Before we go, let me just throw this out. If a reporter, including us, for some way, found out definitively who the Patriots wanted to draft in the first round, as a Patriots fan, would you want us to report it or anyone else? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
You never know who will host, but we always know Fred's in charge.
You will respect my authority.
Patriots.com Radio.
Respect my authority.
Fred doesn't. He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation and account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe. It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. And webradio@patriots.com is the email address. John in South Carolina writes in, there is no way I want to see Parcells going into the Patriot Hall of Fame. Yes, he's one of the reasons my beloved Patriots stayed in New England, but I don't want to see him in the hall ever. I don't care how much they made up. I am still not over him talking with the Jets during the Super Bowl or the Parcells getting Curtis Martin from us. He did a lot to rebuild the Patriots. At the same time, he spent 93 to 96 as a Patriots head coach. He was not here long enough to be in the Hall of Fame. That's John from South Carolina. Yeah, I think tenure has something to do with it. The way he left might delay him getting in.
But he did bring the team to the Super Bowl in that short tenure.
No, he did. And
to respectability.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, I had an argument about this during the meeting at our table with one Tom E. Curran.
Did he punch you?
No, surprisingly enough. But Chris Price was in between us, so maybe that prevented him from doing so. He was talking about Parcells, and you know, he thinks if he gets on the ballot, he's a lock. He'll win in a landslide. And I said, you think he's going to get in over Bledsoe? And he said, yeah. I said, I'll take that bet.
Less than 0% chance.
And the reason that I think that is not necessarily because of my obvious blindness toward Bledsoe. I think there's a lot of people like John, Patriots fans, strong Patriots fans, that know, understand, and recognize all the good things that Parcells did as the Patriots coach, but hate him for the way he left.
The bad
they can't
stuff.
Get past that. Yeah. And I'm not trying to tell Johnny's wrong. I mean, I have a different opinion, but I think there's a lot of people that feel like John do, and I don't blame them at all. I don't think they're wrong at all.
Well, and but they're not wrong, but that's who Parcells is.
No, but my point is...
It's not like he just did it here.
Tom
Curran
thinks that everybody is just going to ignore all that stuff and say all the good things he did, and he's a landslide. I think that Parcells is worthy of being in the Patriots Hall of Fame if you're putting coaches in.
Yeah, well, we just
heard... I think he's worthy of, you know, he's one of the two... I mean, it's him and Belichick.
Well, we just heard from an eligible voter, which is anyone that can get to Patriots.com, who said he would not vote for Parcells, so...
My point is, I think there's a lot of people like John.
I think you're right, Paul.
That just don't like him and won't vote for him.
Enough to get him.
I think he'll get in, but I think there's a lot of people that
see. I think it only matters against big time candidates.
Right. Once he comes
up against...
But once
he goes up against John Morris and Houston Antoine, it's the year Parcells.
And
goes
he's
in.
The big name.
Yeah. That's, right. That's probably not going to happen though.
Right. But eventually it will. Once he gets through that, Bruce
Brown.
It'll be
interesting because I think there's a possibility that Parcells and Bledsoe are. Finalists this year.
I think there's a very good chance.
I don't know because I haven't, from the people I've talked to, I haven't seen anybody that.
Yeah, it's a secret ballot. You put your.
Well, I know Reese had Parcells too.
Reese put Parcells
you had
in?
Parcells, right?
No.
Oh, no. You had Parcells.
No.
I thought one of you had Parcells. When is the balloting start? For online for people?
I know
they're not going to announce the nominees, I believe, until the middle of April. I thought it was the 15th, 16th.
Yeah.
Tax day, maybe 15.
I think you're right.
Pretty soon, though.
That makes sense. That's
pretty soon.
That's when they're going to announce the nominees, and I think that it'll go up on the website, and that's when the voting will start. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty soon.
So. Let's just say Parcells doesn't get in this year, and it's Bledsoe.
Well, he's not.
Well, next year Troy Brown is eligible. So then it's Troy Brown.
Yeah, he's not
going
to beat any of those guys.
I could see that knucklehead.
And then it's Teddy Bruschi. And then it's Rodney Harrison and Willie McGinnis.
Yeah, he'll lose all those, and then at some point he'll be against. Lesser candidates. He's always going to lose to the bigger name player, A, because I think people like the players more from the championship years, and B, because of what Paul said, the hate. There's some hate for Parcells, but not enough hate so that it's the majority. It's a minority, and it's a factor against other equal candidates.
Okay. So before we went to the break, I posed a question, a philosophical question. If one of us or any media member in the area, for some way found out definitively who the Patriots were targeting in the first round. As a fan, would you want he or she to report it?
Sure.
You would?
Sure. Because I don't think people would necessarily believe that that person knows definitively that that's the pick.
And how do you know definitively? I don't even know what that means. Unless you're the number one team, unless you're the Panthers.
It's a hypothetical. So for, you know, somehow.
But I agree with Eric's perception. I think if I read that from someone, I would automatically say,
what do they know?
Who's his source?
And how would it be posed? Like a headline, Patriots want Quinn. Like, how do you know that's sure? That's never happened, right? I mean.
What if
beyond the top picks?
Right.
Remember a couple of years ago, they actually knew the top four or five picks. Remember they were all getting. People were getting really pissy about it because
what if the writer
taken away from the drama.
What if the writer said, I will stake my career on this being accurate? So it's out there. I mean, this guy pretty much, he's not guessing. He's got a pretty...
No, I'm not saying he's guessing, but no one really knows except for the top pick.
Right, because if you're picking 20, you can't do that.
Because you don't know how the draft's going to unfold.
A.J. Green. I like Robert Quinn. I like multiple players. So even I wouldn't have a surefire, guy I want.
Loves Quinn, right, at 17. Let's just say Quinn's available at 17. Andy loves him. But all of a sudden,
AJ Green's
available too.
I'd be torn.
I haven't seen any mocks that have him getting out of the top 10.
If other teams even know, hey, if this guy's available at 17, we're going to
take him. That's different.
That hurts you because now if another team likes that guy too and they're a pick behind you, they might trade up and leap over you to get that knowing that you will take him if he's available.
Are you going with the – so you're saying as a fan you wouldn't want to know that? Is that what you're
I'm asking.
No, but I
would want to know.
I would want to know as a fan. I would want to know all the information I could possibly get.
Absolutely. And plus, if another team – a rival
if they trade up to try to draft the guy that you like just to be spiteful
based on a newspaper report,
I'm
pretty happy with that line of thinking. Because if I get burned by it, next year I'm going to rope someone into taking a guy.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be out of spite, Eric. I mean, it happens all the time when teams think that they might lose out on a guy, they make maneuvers to get him.
But because they like the player too, not just to go one up on a rival.
Absolutely, because they like the player too.
Look, it doesn't make any sense for a team to let their draft plans be known publicly. We all can agree on that, I think.
But a reporter's job is to report.
Right. But if I'm a fan and I can find that out, I'm very interested in that. I want to know that. If I'm just a fan and I'm not worried about if I lose the guy or whatever, I want to know.
We have a couple other topics I forgot to bring up as well.
Okay.
First, kind of brought up by our last caller, we did debate Friday. Moss versus Ocho Cinco, which would you rather have? And we actually got Ocho Cinco to cast his ballot via Twitter, and he voted for Moss. Because when we sent out the tweet, Chris Ferreira sent it, made sure that it was at Ocho Cinco.
Because unlike Moss, he has class.
And he, what? In between his workouts with the...
Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, I had no idea what the team's name was. Kansas City MLS soccer team. He voted for Moss, but the other thing I wanted to bring up is Derek Havens, our friend out of Arizona, University of Arizona, must have needed a moment to collect his thoughts, so to speak, when the Pro Football Talk mock draft came out and Brooks Reed, pass rusher out of Arizona, was the selection for the Patriots. Although, quickly, even Derek Havens chimed in with, that's ridiculous.
Even I wouldn't take him.
He's not the 17th pick in the draft, so... A lot of mocks out there, a lot of different opinions. Paul, who's in your mock?
I don't have a mock. I'll make a mockery of the whole thing.
Earlier we said an emailer from New York wanted
Patriots
us to talk.
Patriots on the clock on SportsCenter.
An emailer from New York wanted us to talk more draft, and Giovanni writes in, forget those New York punks. You guys talk about whatever you want. Speaking of accents, I have a quick story for you fellas. I was in a music store the other day wearing a Patriots hat, when a store associate sees my hat and says, all right, go Pats. We talk football for
like
a bit.
Commercial.
Go Pats!
Brooklyn Matt.
We talk football for a bit. Then he asks, you from Mass? Clearly he was. I didn't clearly hear his question, but managed to blurt out, oh, yeah, of course I'm not from New England. So when he asks, whereabouts, I decided to play George Costanza and make something up.
I'm a marine biologist.
I found myself talking in the worst Boston accent ever, saying, I'm from Hyde Park. He looks at me funny for a while, then he simply says, wow, man, that's a rough area. Anyway, hope we get Quinn at 17. However, I foresee us trading up, though. And Andy, if we do get Quinn, you need to run around the office yelling like Charlie Sheen, Quinning!
Quinning!
As always, Jets are garbage, Andy's awesome, and Ken Walter rules. So.
Hyde Park.
Also, Paul was saying how Brooklyn Matt was making fun of him. Paul, he says, you must be misconstruing my praise as being of a sarcastic manner on your blog. It's not. Andy is my only enemy up there. And plus, Paul, you have an endearing smile. It's genuine and infectious, placed right in the middle of those cherubic rosy cheeks. How can anyone not be a fan of Paul's calls? And plus, the name is so dang cute. So, is he being sarcastic again?
I think
no,
so.
No, really? Do you think?
A lot of people writing in disappointed in me not roasting Eric over his trip to
I saw Cormac's email
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, Cormac, come on.
That was good. I liked it.
Back off.
Yeah. A lot of people think that
all of a sudden Eric's like, we need to talk about football.
I really should have gone after you and that people were disappointed, Eric.
Well, we did kind of not follow through on a tease.
Yeah,
right.
But as they say,
too soon.
Andy, what was the term that you used earlier? Situation on the ground, conditions on the ground have changed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, conditions on the ground changed after we got off the show on Tuesday.
Yeah. So Cormac says for us listeners, it was a real letdown.
Sorry.
Usually is when it involves Eric.
So. Will you be wearing the glasses on air again?
No.
No. Okay.
Will you be wearing the glasses?
Were they mirrored by any chance?
Mirrored? No.
Yeah, mirrored
no, they were
glasses?
Just aviators.
Aviator?
It's Tom Cruise best.
Yeah. Watched a little Cocktail last night.
Oh, yeah?
That's
yeah,
that was Cocktail.
A... Oh.
The T-shirt. Will the T-shirt be worn again?
No.
This is kind of small for you.
Oh, you know, got to accentuate what you got. Who'd have thunk, you know?
You could have a shirt that's too small for you.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm so upset with these clothes.
How upset
in these
are
department
you?
Stores. I found myself in a mall over the weekend, so I said, you know what, maybe I'll get a new
mistake.
Polo shirt. Yeah. And they had this one type of polo shirt with, like, a hand making a peace sign. I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. I took
a polo
an XL
shirt?
Polo shirt.
Like in the...
Yeah, the insignia was a hand...
It's not a polo,
sign.
Paul. Oh, you're into labels. Okay. You mean polo.
It wasn't Ralph Lauren.
He just means the type of shirt, a golf shirt.
So I bring it in. This XL, I could barely get it over my head or around my arm.
You're right. It's the shirt's fault.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
No, I'm serious. They don't make... It's ridiculous.
Was it a boy's extra large?
No.
Andy, correct me if I'm wrong. Have I ever complained to you that these clothes aren't made properly when they're too tight for me? Just
nope.
I just want to state that for the record.
When you buy a shirt, is it XL?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's not too small for me.
Right. But this XL. Oh, you're that. I'm that much bigger than you. Oh,
I'm just saying. I've never had a problem getting an extra large to fit
in the
me.
Shoulders. I am much bigger than Paul.
You are.
You are.
I'll say that.
But I have no shoulders.
You're
so.
The first person I've ever seen with fat shoulders.
I have no shoulders. My brother's been making fun of me for that for 30 years.
It just pisses me off. Don't make it a medium if it's a medium.
It's funny because you
is that really a problem?
Make it a medium if it's a medium.
For some of these designers, they get.
Well, where were you? What kind of?
It was in Nordstrom's.
And who made the shirt?
Keats.
I don't know. It began with a V. And the insignia on the
Van Heusen.
You're big into the little logos, huh? You like those
because
you
had
the penguin
different.
One.
It looked different.
You
it
have the big
different.
Penis one. You like
happens to be Orvis, but go ahead.
But go ahead.
You're into the logos on the shirts.
I like.
Remember, didn't Rohan Davey wanted your shirt? You brought something back in style.
What was I wearing? Yeah, I had a throwback.
Izod?
Yeah, it was an old Izod or something. No, Gator. Is that Izod?
That's
Gators.
Izod. Yeah.
Yeah, and you had like a real old one, and
yeah,
they
like
were
Docs.
Just coming back. Yeah, and he that, but that's a new one.
You had an old
from when
one?
It was originally around, and he wanted your shirt or something.
Why is the logo
something
different?
Something like that.
Oh, he wanted my shoes that day, too.
No,
remember?
But there's something, you know, the vintage. If you get the vintage shirt.
No, you know what it was?
Should have wanted
to bring his arm. I had an old Patriots jacket
I think
on.
Doc just dropped
it. It was an old varsity-looking Patriots jacket.
No, you told us a Gator story. It was definitely the little Gator shirt.
Salad dressing went all over the floor.
Do you make things up?
He was going to say when the Gator was still alive until he spilled his dressing all over.
That is what happens when you make things up, Andy.
Yeah, you forget.
You forget. 2 years later, you can't keep track of your lies.
I must make up a
it's
lot.
It's like my former boss at the Herald.
Oh, I thought it was your former coworker. No. Here.
Oh. Wow.
Well,
that goes without saying.
Colin is another
on, give
person
us the drop in.
Who was upset with Eric's,
they're cleaning
Eric's performance.
In there. I would say join the list. There's a lot of women on the list, but there's not a lot of women on that list of upset with his performance.
He thinks Lindsay you know. Petrucci should go
in the sack.
We know.
I'm just talking to myself.
Cormac from Ireland. Yes.
I'm just talking to myself.
Colin. Right?
Oh, Colin from...
Colin.
From... Oh, God.
Did you see the thing with Canseco, by the way? He sent his brother to fight for
twin brother.
Yeah. How many times do you think he's done that in bed?
Oh, I'm sure.
In bed.
Hey, Madonna needs one. Go and take care of that, will you?
Let's see. A lot of emails. Dan the Buy Man is what he calls himself.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Well,
Andy knows what it means.
We've been making a bye joke on this show for 10 years. You might have told us then that
Andy knows a little something about
long-time listener, love the show. I am a consultant who travels all the time. I really appreciate what you guys do. It really helps me relax. That's important for someone who travels. Just came back from Fort Myers for work Saturday at a couple of tables down from Jacoby Ellsbury. He was with two hot blondes. Eric, you should start hanging out with Jacoby. And my waitress had two big, busty breasts. I know nice. Andy is excited. Surprisingly, she was not fat or old, unlike most people in that town.
I'm just glad she had two, and you could have just said she had big, busty breasts. I would have assumed they were a pair. They generally come in a pair.
Let's talk about what I want to talk about. I reviewed pretty much all the prospect videos on wide receiver, linebacker, defensive end. I want to say Terrence Tolliver is my guy. Of course, Jones and Green are great, but they will be long gone when it comes to the Patriots' turn. TT looks really good, like a young Randy Moss. Long frame, great hands, terrific jump reach, as long as he doesn't have Randy's issues.
At 17?
I say that's our wideout of the future. Of course, there are other guys, too, in case we can't get him. DeAndre Brown and Torrey Smith are both valuable late picks. I can't believe Randall Cobb does it all. I bet he can kick, too. On pass rush, we have to try to get either Quinn or Alden Smith. If we have to get to the Super Bowl and win it, there are other great complimentary guys there, too. I'm sure Belichick will not just draft one pass rusher. I just hope one guy can be a high pick within 50.
You really are just talking to yourself.
Here is my second guy choice. Second guy choice. I think he means day. Jeremy Beal, Bruce Miller. What's your guys' opinion on wide receiver and second pass rusher?
Jeremy Beal sucks. Sorry, strippers. He is a high motor, good college football player, nothing more.
Now, Terrence Tolliver is a very raw talent. There wasn't a whole lot of footage on him, but
and he's a guy that has never been very productive.
See, he's another one that I'm intrigued by for the same reason I like Henderson, because he has the athleticism, but had never had a good quarterback to play with.
But
I just at 17,
was
more
productive.
Yeah, I mean, I got to kind of
you need something more reliable.
I don't
at
want
17.
Any. If that's what he was talking about, you know, the first round, and then moving on to day two. Yeah,
too.
No, Tolliver, I think, can play.
I do too.
I like Henderson better, Andy. You're right.
Oh yeah.
Well,
you're
right.
I mean, he's more of a known commodity.
But
Tolliver is considered like a mid-round pick.
Not a first round pick.
No, like mid-round, third, fourth.
Yeah. I don't have my sheet with me, and I thought maybe I was messing
that up. How do you not bring your sheets? If you're going to do the work to take the notes, you should have your notes available.
I remember watching Tolliver every Saturday with Gary Danielson and Vern Lundquist.
Well, then maybe you saw his total of five touchdowns. Ooh.
Again, with that guy playing quarterback, actually those two guys, they're terrible.
Yeah, but Hankerson
Jefferson
was better
and
than
Lee.
That.
Hey, Jefferson and Lee.
Oh, good, Paul.
Freddie, did you not like your salad?
Hankerson had 13 touchdowns.
There was
I
a
said
lot of
Hankerson's
chicken on
a better
it,
player.
So I ate the chicken.
Hankerson's could possibly be a first round
Caesar
pick.
Caesar salad, hold this.
I mean, that's
no,
not
but
where
you're comparing them based on both had. I just almost said SHIE. Crappy quarterbacks.
Now we just
one guy with
it's
a
okay.
Can we
not well, that's what you do in front of the little kids. You know?
You really can't do that either.
Sugar, honey, iced tea,
earmuffs.
All right.
There's a show called Blank. My dad says on TV.
Yeah, but it's not. They don't. They don't.
They don't spell it.
They don't
out.
Say S H I T. My dad says.
What do they do?
Wait a minute.
P U S S Y.
That's what you say every day.
And all that.
That's different.
Yeah, but he
I've
thinks
heard
if he says it,
said
if he says
radio.
It softly and in a funny accent, he can say it
like this.
Pussy and all that.
the and all that.
Sound like
really
Brandon Merriweather there.
Brandon Merriweather.
Pussy and all that.
Have you heard that guy on the line?
What is he called? The fire starter?
I'm the potty starter.
He says it in
that's what he refers to himself as in the third person.
It's almost like a cross between
Forrest Gump. There's definitely a Forrest Gump to it.
I'm Gump, Forrest Gump.
Tim in Walpole, formerly of Walpole, says, first off, Andy, how hot is Lindsey P? I saw you discussing wide receivers with her, and I could see the gears turning in your head. Is that true?
I don't know. I did make a joke about wanting her back when I had to do one of those with B-Lo.
Beaver Stadium.
B-Lo
Dick
got all
Stadium.
Befuddled.
Dick Stadium.
She's an attractive young
Beaver
lady.
Beaver Stadium.
Okay. She's a coworker. I'm not comfortable
going
all Brooklyn Decker on her.
Hey, girl.
Second, a lot of
she's a coworker.
Well, she is. I mean, technically, we work together. We, you know, have the same HR department. We could
total bobblehead.
That's a positive.
Bobbing for apples.
Second, a lot of experts are picking J.J. Watt for the Pats
first
pick. What are your thoughts?
Nope. Terrible.
No more. No me gusta.
Third, there has been a lot of discussion about pick 33. Would it be possible to get a one next year and a second this year for this pick? Oh. We may just
both?
Find someone desperate enough to do that.
No.
I don't think Josh McDaniels is allowed to make trades anymore.
Also, fourth,
you could get a first next year for it. Yeah, Bill does that a lot, a second rounder for a first rounder in the
and
future.
And since the draft will have started, you could get a first in 2014.
Fourth, Tim wants to know, Paul, do you really drink Miller Lite? Of all the light beers, it has to be the worst.
I'm not a huge, contrary to my persona on this show, I had the banana in the tailpipe going.
Are you going to say you're not a huge drinker?
I'm not a huge beer drinker. I drink on Saturday nights.
My God, who does he think a big beer drinker is?
I don't know. Andre the Giant.
How
when
often
he did those 30
John Daly?
Are
you
in an hour?
Are you a beer drinker?
Top shelf.
Because I don't consider you a big beer drinker.
No, either. I have maybe two a month.
I don't consider Andy a big beer drinker.
No.
How often do you buy, say, a 12 pack?
I usually buy the 20 pack in the bottles.
Okay, how often?
Once a month.
I can't remember the last time.
But it's not just
beer.
For me. Like, really? My brother-in-law has dinner at my house once a week, and he has two beers. So
I don't. This is my point. I drink on Saturday nights before road games with these guys.
He drinks and you make up drunk. For it plenty. That's for sure. That's
he pounds it. When he drinks them, he pounds them.
When I went to Richmond and you guys made fun of me, I had beers there.
I'm missing
also.
All the fun.
But I don't drink a lot.
So when you're out with the guys, you drink, but you're not out with the
guys
a lot.
I'm a very social drinker. Yes. Yeah. I'm a very social drinker.
Yeah, me too.
No, he's more, well, he drinks more than you.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
Maybe at a
when
at
we go out on Saturday night,
Fred
has
I will
two,
guarantee you,
you'll have five.
I will.
Yeah. I mean, there's that kind of
I will guarantee you.
I'm drinking a heavier beer.
It's true. goes right to your shoulders.
I'm usually drinking Sam Adams.
I couldn't get it out fast enough.
I'm usually drinking Sam Adams, and he's drinking Miller Lite.
Yeah, what happened to that little phase of top shelf? You were getting like margaritas. You went through like
what?
Last year, at some point, two or three road trips,
and you
in
got
a row.
Mad. Remember, you sent one back because it wasn't using
it wasn't top,
top
shelf,
shelf whatever vodka.
It was
whatever
a short phase.
I don't even
it
know
would be tequila.
Tequila, yes, you're right.
What happened there, and why did you
maybe
start and stop?
Maybe I had a hankering for margaritas at the time.
Remember the phase he went through when he was taking cigars out on the road with us?
Wait, was it margarita? That's what it was. Was margaritas?
But it wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't a one. It was multiple trips.
Really?
Where you said top shelf, top shelf.
Andy, I would agree
just
with
like
you.
Top.
If we go out,
to know what I mean by that.
If we go out one night,
you're the one who said it.
You did say it. He's right.
I remember once ordering at least once.
No, I remember you sending multiples. It back once because it wasn't good enough.
Maybe.
And then you yelled at yourself. Then you started explaining it all to Andy and I we were idiots.
Well, when you drink
in my
a tequila,
case, true,
bad tequila will.
But you can tell in a margarita, isn't it covered up by the limey
tequila
taste?
It's covered up when you drink it, but not the next morning.
Why are you bringing a race into it, though?
No.
Why are you bringing a limey?
Well, no, when you
but how did you know it was bad to send it back?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember the
incident. You wouldn't know.
You clearly just tell so many lies that you can't keep up with them.
I'm not lying. I just don't remember.
Shots, that's when you.
No, I know with shots you could tell the difference, but
that
when
is
it's
relevant
covered
with
a green sour mix or whatever.
You wouldn't know the difference, probably.
I mean, I remember having a tequila now and then. I just don't remember.
A tequila.
The next day.
Where I
a bottle.
Do you remember
I literally don't remember.
Well, one of them was definitely preseason in New York at the old place down the street at either a Friday's or a Champs.
Right.
The hotel we stayed at near the Crow's Nest.
It's coming back to me now. Yep.
This
yep.
past
pretty
year?
Impressed with what
this
I
past year?
Together.
It was a Houlihan's.
Houlihan's it was.
Right.
You sent it back. It was when we had there was a gay comedian or something there. Remember that?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right, he was doing that whole
thing. And Andy was very excited.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, the guy was leaving the place and they rented a guy to
they
come
rented
in
a,
and
yeah, it was like a party.
A tooth fairy?
A birthday party. It was a tooth fairy
thing. He was dressed as the tooth fairy.
But he was like a comedian, interactive.
Not funny.
That's coming back.
He made
to me
laugh a little bit. He was very risque.
He had a thing for Fred. Remember, he kept coming over and talking to Fred.
He had a boa, right? That he kept
that's
putting
right.
on your neck.
Oh yeah.
But I will guarantee you this:
it was one of our PFW postcards.
During the course of a whole year, Fred will have more beers than I will.
Oh, I don't.
Well, we go out on Saturday nights.
But
sitting,
I agree
with
you.
If we go out on a Saturday night, I will have more than he will. But during the course of a year, he will drink beers more often and have.
Right.
Consumed more beers
calendar year.
Than I will.
But you lump them all together.
Why do you say that?
Because I know that you drink more often than I do. And you would have to.
You would have to?
I'll bet you drink more often than I do. You probably don't drink more because I know you never have more
it's
than
the
one.
Same
of the
beer at every.
Does wine count?
A canteen.
But if you drink wine regularly,
dinner,
then you drink more than I do. Because
I guess I do then.
I could probably count on two hands, 10 times, tops.
Yeah.
The whole
year. But you drink 40 beers on those 10
I
times.
No, I don't. Just because you think I was drunk
you drink a
doesn't
lot.
Make it that I was drunk.
Have you ever been shut off by your wife, Fred?
No.
Oh, wait.
No.
This is ridiculous.
Have I ever been shut off by my wife? No.
Such a ridiculous
Eric,
question.
We don't even need to ask. But has Paul been shut off by his wife? Thank you. No further questions. The answer is yes.
Your wife shut you off?
At my party. You don't remember that?
She made him put a beer back.
I get
really?
Up.
I don't remember.
He
that.
Was at home, so he didn't have to drive. He was at home, and she told
she
him
gave,
to put it back.
She didn't tell me to put it back. It was worse. She gave me the look and then said, "Do you really need another one?"
And he just walked
wow.
over and put it back.
Wow.
That's how he drinks. When he drinks, he drinks.
Drinks to excess.
Yes.
He just drinks to get drunk.
He's what we call a binge drinker.
No, yes. But that's not true.
It's a form of functional alcoholism.
Yeah. All right. Let's further address this because I like these topics even though the
psychoanalyzing Paul
even though
here.
The moron that did from New York that
Chad
Ryder like this.
Oh.
No, he's an idiot.
Sorry.
How many times, Andy Hart, have you had to leave a tip at our hotel to clean up your mess?
But that's different.
Oh, no, it's not different.
I
it's
vomit at the drop of a coin.
Or at the drop of a beer.
No.
When was this? Down your throat.
Oh, this happens all the time.
Four or five
times
a year.
You went all rock and roll in a hotel room?
Andy's a lightweight, is that what
you're telling me? Four or five times. It's not a lightweight. He drinks a lot. He throws up.
You tore up a hotel room?
No. I usually get diarrhea, so I'm using the toilet, so I have to vomit somewhere else, so I go in the garbage can.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to get a hotel in New York, just like Charlie.
I usually just put a magazine on top with a $10 bill, because she's got to clean the garbage can.
Speaking of Charlie Sheen, are you going on his tour?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Winning.
You're getting tickets? He's going to the Mohegan Sun?
Yeah. Lowell and, no,
Gannis
and Mohegan are the local stops. No, I have no interest.
Winning.
Ben writes in from Vermont, and he says, hello, big head, big drunk, big belly, and extra small t-shirt, a.k.a. the guys and Eric. And yes, Paul, after your stories of your vast alcohol consumption in your teen years, you have earned the drunk title.
Okay, that's fine.
I just wanted to let you guys and the listeners know about a great sports book I just finished. It's called Scorecasting. It is about the hidden influences behind how sports are played and games are won. It uses statistics to look into things like, does home field advantage really exist? Does biased officiating really influence games in favor of the home team? When is going for it on fourth and down a good idea? And lots of other cool stuff. On the fourth down issue, they looked at the decision made by Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, to go for it on fourth and two at their own 28-yard line in 2009 against the then-undefeated Indianapolis Colts. Belichick got killed in the media for his call. Rodney Harrison said at the time, you have to play the percentages and punt in this situation. Well, the authors ran the odds and accounted for a ton of factors. It turned out that the odds actually supported going for it. The Patriots stood an 81% chance to win the game if they went for it versus a 72% chance if they punted. I can't remember what you all thought about the decision at the time, but I was surprised to see the statistical validation of Belichick's decision. Devoted listener since 2002. Let me know if you all want me to buy lunch sometime.
Yes.
I'll have a chicken parm.
What? Save that email, Kev.
I think he was kidding.
I think at the time I said they should have punted.
But save it
anyway.
But I wasn't outraged at the decision.
I was outraged, and I still think we all were.
Well, last week you told me that, and I emailed the guy. I never heard back, so that's why I'm giving you that.
But you email all these guys that offer. We need lunches.
That's how it's done.
I'm not surprised that the statistics back that up, because that's the reason why those guys exist. Whoa. They have to have counterintuitive numbers to
and
back their existence.
Can back anything up.
Exactly. And, you can't explain to me how it's a better risk to try to get 2 yards on one play than to stop a team from going 70. You can't
Have you seen this defense?
You can't possibly explain that to
me. And plus, how does that statistic factor in when your quarterback's Jamarcus Russell?
Right. It's all so flawed.
Doesn't that change things?
It's all...
And the momentum of the game at the time, we had completely lost momentum at the time. They had just stopped us on third and one to make it a fourth and two, if you recall.
But you realize it's become a lot more common lately, or I just notice it more now. Maybe I'm more aware. But we joked about Randy Edsel did it with my guy Todman last year. Went for it on fourth and one from his 19.
Yeah, same kind of deal.
And I believe he was up two, so he loses. I mean, the field, even worse, the field goal kills him. And Pat Hill did the exact same thing. It was within his 20 to 30,
if it's inside,
fourth and one.
If it's inside a yard and I can run to get it, I'm still scared.
I don't believe Edsel was.
Fourth and two, you had to pass,
yeah,
in my opinion. You had to pass on that play, which makes it harder. You run that risk. I mean, if it's an inches play and you can do one of those little play actions and hope to you squirt your fullback out of the side or the tight end, I mean, that's a pitch and catch. They tried that kind of a play, and it was snuffed out because they couldn't run. I think there's a lot of factors that don't necessarily get taken into consideration. I think that's one that I think people are being stubborn on.
But all those statistical things, when you read them using their parameters, you go, okay, that makes sense, I guess. But you always have your others.
You can definitely do that.
You know what I mean?
You can definitely do that.
It makes sense when you're reading it, how they lead you to the outcome.
I'm a big fan of going for it on fourth down. You guys know that. I rant against teams all the time for not doing that. And that's one thing that I really admire about Bill. He always, always errs on the side of aggression. And I think that's how you win football games. I think that he's got a lot of fourth downs in those, you know, that gray area outside of field goal. This one, to me, was just too close to his own goal line, too late in the game to substantiate. if it were the 45 or 50-yard line and Indianapolis still would have had to do something to win the game, I think I could have been more convinced. But by doing it the way he did it, he put his defense almost in a no-win situation. It was almost an impossible spot.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically saying, if we give the ball back to Manning, no matter where,
we lose.
We lose. Mm.
He was right. They gave it back to him. They lost.
Yeah, the 20.
He was right. I'm just saying he was right. I'm with Bill.
Sean and Hazleton, since there's no news to talk about, since greedy owners won't negotiate and the players feel a court battle is the best way to settle matters than to sit at a table and negotiate, I want to talk about positive vibes in the Pats Hall of Fame. I think it's a slam dunk Drew Bledsoe gets in, and I'm glad you have senior selection now to the Hall of Fame, but why not have three or four members vote on to be in the Hall of Fame? Most fans that know how to use a keyboard will vote for Bledsoe, since the people using a CPU only remember Bledsoe. But to us fans who came around when football was about football, why can't the committee just come up with four candidates deserve merit, like Russ Francis, Darryl Stingley, Ray Claiborne, Leon Gray? I mean, in 2 years, fans are going to have to choose between Teddy Bruschi and Ronnie Harrison. I would love to see if there could be a group induction like some teams do. Also, it's time to unretire some numbers, like Steve Nelson, Bob D, Bruce Armstrong. The only numbers that should be retired are actual Hall of Fame players and should be a Hall of Fame player, Hannah Haynes, Tip, and Geno. The next numbers should be retired will be number 12, but there was talk of having a Ring of Honor at some point. Is that going to happen? Thanks, guys.
Did you say Geno should have his number retired?
Geno's not in the Hall of Fame.
How does he get in there?
His number isn't retired, is it?
It is.
Oh, it is?
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
He's not in the Pro Football
His number shouldn't be retired based on the emailer's criteria, which I happen to agree with. I think the Pro Football Hall of Famers
that's worthy
on your team,
yep.
73-56.
40,
and 56. Sorry, Tip.
P.S. I would
like, he forgot you. Come get him.
I would like to reiterate that Drew Bledsoe deserves his own induction. I don't want Paul to be mad at me since we both came from the school of Drew. So.
No, I like Fred's idea. I think that for a guy like Drew Bledsoe, or obviously for Tom Brady, that's an event in and of itself. I think
if like, Brady comes,
like Andy said,
he might be in Brazil
for Sam Cunningham or, you know, someone, you know, John Morris,
Kevin Turner.
I don't think that, you know, yeah. Jim Nantz a couple years ago. I think it's crickets.
See, you guys know my
that's
stance.
Really
I'm
cool.
Much tougher on who should get into a Hall of Fame, you know, and we found out, and I won't mention who said it or who the players are, but there's at least a couple guys in the Hall of Fame that the only reason they are is because they ended their careers as Patriots and they were friends of the owner, Billy Sullivan. That's not how you get into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, the Patriots should correct some of those wrongs. And I think they should.
No, he thinks he's not making it public by not saying the actual names.
And I think that they should unretire some of these numbers. And I agree with Sean that.
I agree with Sean,
you know,
as well.
Hannah Tippett.
Yep.
And
Haynes?
Maybe Haynes, but not. He's not a slam
because
dunk in my...
Because he didn't play his full career?
He's a slam dunk for me.
He didn't do for the team.
Sure he did.
I don't think he did.
Well, what are you going to do? We can argue it forever.
He was great from day one.
He was great for day one. He played, what, 7 years?
No, he was great, but being great gets in, you know, but for the Patriots, he did all... He had all his success.
No.
No, he didn't.
From day one as a New England Patriot, he was great.
He was great.
As a punt returner and as a cornerback.
As a player.
Your god, Devin McCourty, was chasing all his records.
As a player, he was great. There's no doubt about it. You know?
And while he was a bad person? Isn't it like... Isn't he like the president of the league now?
This gets back to Fred's thing that if you didn't win a Super Bowl, you can't be great.
No, John Hanna was great.
Well, Michael Haynes was every bit the player that John Hanna was.
Yes.
As a Patriot.
Yeah. I mean, people thought he was the greatest corner that ever lived at some point.
Yes, and when he was a Patriot, he was thought that highly of.
No, the same
when he went to the Raiders.
So if Curtis Martin gets in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which he should.
Was he the best running back in the history of football as a Patriot? You think of him in those terms?
You think Mike Haynes is the best cornerback in the history of football?
Yes, when
just
he
told
played,
you when
he was
he played,
thought
people
of
thought
as the
of
best
that
corner
way.
In the history of the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, he goes
in 3 years as opposed to 7 is different.
I don't know about retiring his
number.
And
it's also different in football, by the way. 7 years is a long time in football.
It is. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's an eternity.
That's, yeah. 3 years,
I actually think 4 years is a pretty long time in football.
3 years is
the average is three.
Curtis Martin only played three seasons.
No, I was talking more
there's
about Parcells.
There's a big difference.
I think in football, that's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah, the argument against Parcells for the longevity thing is he was 32 and 32 in those 4 years.
That's the argument against him. Now, I understand.
Now, had he not come, what would they have been in those 3 years?
Right.
4-60?
Right. That's what they were when he took them over.
Right. That's my point.
And when he left a Super Bowl caliber team. And that was validated, in my opinion, by the fact that Belichick came in 4 years later with that core of talent and had the success that he had.
But I think my point is that very few people on any team should have their... The Patriots have more retired numbers than the Boston Red Sox and the Green Bay
Abortion.
Packers.
Here's where I totally
become
with
one
you.
Of his like three arguments in life.
No, but he's right about this. It's the Hall of Good here, not the Hall of Great, and it's just, there's something wrong with that.
You know,
rectify
it. So if you want to do a Ring of Honor,
Ring of
Honor's
fine. Numbers need to be restated.
If you got stuck in these meetings with Fred and I, Andy, you would just sit in the corner and laugh. You wouldn't say anything because I know you wouldn't. You would laugh at
me. We did get stuck in those meetings.
Bruce
remember
Armstrong,
a couple years ago?
Bruce Armstrong was great on this team, a great tackle.
He should not have his number retired.
Right.
Yeah. To me, I like Sean's idea. If you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer, retire the number.
But there could be an exception to that where a guy.
Like if Corey Dillon goes to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I don't need to retire 28 here.
Right.
He's not in the Hall
right.
of Fame because of what he did here.
But on the opposite,
Mike Haynes is in the Hall of Fame.
Plus Curtis Martin,
both for what he
here.
Did here and with the Raiders.
But I'm not ruling out someone who doesn't make the Pro Football Hall of Fame getting his number retired. It would have to be
extraordinary circumstances.
Extraordinary.
Right.
And I don't know anyone right now that I would do that to. But it could happen.
Yeah,
I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah, I hear you.
Would Troy Brown be a possibility?
No.
I have another question, and this is going to be one. Andy's going to make fun of me for this. I can tell already. I'm setting myself up. I want to do this as tactfully as I can and not...
On this show, we're not very good at
this. I don't mean this to sound unduly harsh, okay? But I'm interested in you guys' opinion on guys' tragic situations. Ron Burton, Daryl Stingley, Sean mentioned.
Right.
Are these guys Hall of Famers? In my view, they're not. And I don't, again, I want to preface it by saying I'm not diminishing the tragedy involved in a guy like Daryl Stingley and what he may have been.
Right.
No.
I don't think those guys belong in your team's Hall of Fame.
In other words, you
well,
don't get.
They belong in the hall at Patriot.
Oh, no.
You have a place where you can
you
remember these
them.
People
right.
and acknowledge what they were, what they could have been,
yes.
the tragedy, the story.
In the building itself.
And I think that's something special that the Patriots have that not everyone has. They can have an area where there can be a Daryl Stingley exhibit and mm-hmm. what he was, what he could have been, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's something you're lucky to have.
Story.
Right.
Yeah.
Another,
if Brian Morey takes advantage of his space.
Right.
Is it cold?
No.
No. But do you feel the same way?
I absolutely do. You don't get, as harsh as it sounds, you don't get extra points for the tragedy.
Right. I mean,
you don't at all.
Not
if you played.
Hypothetically speaking, the Patriots drafted Corey Dillon number one overall in 2003. He rushed for 1,685 yards, franchise record as a rookie, died in a car crash immediately following the season.
No.
Nothing?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
But I want him in your area, in the hall.
Yeah.
I want
the tragedy
he's
area.
Recognized.
No, I want him recognized. Yeah, he's a great right. player who accomplished something great, and I want to make sure that that's not forgotten.
Right.
Okay. Daryl Stingley should not be forgotten by New England Patriots fans.
Right.
Just because he was paralyzed in the heart of his career. He did not have a Hall of Fame career. One of my favorite athletes of all time. Reggie Lewis, his number was retired by the Celtics. I think it's a little silly. I think he would have been well on his way to getting his number retired as a Celtic.
Right.
But he died before he had accomplished the things that would have made sure that he did that.
Right.
And I think it's wrong to just say, well, he would have been one right. of the all-time greats.
In the Raiders Hall of Fame, I'm sure if Bo Jackson finished his career, he'd be in their Hall of Fame. But
he'd be in Canton. No.
Well, whatever. But you know what I mean? You just can't... You know, you can't extrapolate these type
right.
of things.
Okay, I agree.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry from Worcester is on the phone. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah, I love this talk. one of the things about Bill Parcells, and I do appreciate what he did by raising the ticket, season ticket holders and all that
yeah.
when he came in. But he came in with the carpetbaggers from St. Louis. To
That's
take
true.
Our team to St. Louis in 4 years after they got good enough so that St. Louis would build them a dome.
Kraft
hadn't had that thing with the Sullivans when he loaned so he couldn't move the team.
Right. Well,
this
see, here's what happened. I mean, you're partially right, Larry.
Happened in St. Louis.
Yeah, you're partially
But it didn't.
James Orthwine brought in Bill Parcells to bring credibility to an investment that he had. He wanted to protect his investment. That's the only reason he took the team over.
Yeah, but it wasn't a package deal, was it?
No, it was not a package deal. It was not a package deal.
Orthwine did that. I agree with Larry's intention. Orthwine, right. That's why he wanted a guy like Parcells.
To build credibility for the team and protect his investment.
So
now,
he could move.
Yeah, but why do you hold that against Parcells?
Don't hold that against Parcells.
Parcells was just trying to do the best job.
I don't think he was involved in it at all.
No.
He was. I think he saw a challenge to bring legitimacy to a franchise.
Matter of fact, I think if it were the St. Louis Patriots, he wouldn't have taken the job. If they were already in St. Louis, I don't think he would have taken it. I think that was
the location was attractive.
Yes.
Okay,
I might be wrong on that. I don't know Bill personally.
He wouldn't have gone to St. Louis, maybe, yeah.
He might have, but he was not. Parcells, when he came here, did not have a handshake deal with Orthwine that when you move the team to St. Louis, I'm going with you.
Hey, well, put it this way. If that was the case, then he wouldn't have stuck around.
Right.
Because we all know Bill's penchant for just coming and going as he pleases.
That's true.
Right? You know, yep. So when Kraft bought the team in 94, the next year, I think he would have just left.
Right.
And I think Michael Haynes is the greatest cornerback there ever was.
Well, tell Fred. Fred's the disbeliever on
Fred,
this.
Fred, it was the Sullivans that drove him out of town. It wasn't Michael.
Well, you know, that
See,
could
that,
be
that,
true.
That's the other part of those guys, yeah. Like Leon Gray and all these other guys.
Leon Gray
to me,
also, yeah.
If you want to have someone who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, it's Billy Sullivan. But
well,
that's
I know, Paul, I hear you. It was a courtesy.
I'm 100% with Larry here because, you know, I'm you know, go ahead, Andy, make fun of me because Larry and I are probably around the same age.
But he was the best I've ever seen. And when I saw, and I grant, Fred, I'm on your side, when second game in, when I saw McCurdy, I said, he reminds me of Michael Haynes and how he moves, the fluidness that he has.
Yep.
And I was so happy they drafted him.
Yeah. A lot of people compared him to Mike Haynes. Larry,
so
you weren't
fluid.
Alone.
Hasn't shown the kick return or the punt return skills that Haynes
So Larry, at the end of the day, Bill Parcells is on the list to go into the Hall of Fame. Are you voting for him or not?
Probably not.
Okay.
Larry says no. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there like Larry and like John earlier that just they can't get past the
You need to get past
the
it.
Negative.
My negative is the beginning. I do believe his job was to make him good enough so they could move him.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. He was just trying to do his job.
But see, to me, that's what as a Patriots fan, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be relevant, and the Patriots weren't relevant until he came.
No, I agree with you on that, but I still can't get past it was just so that he could get them to build a place for them.
Well, blame Orthwine for that. But,
oh, I do. I know. There's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah.
I like Larry. Larry's my kind of guy.
It isn't one person, but I think he was part of it.
Well, and thank God that Kraft had that ironclad lease and turned down the $70 million in cash that they offered him to get out of the lease.
I think you're giving Parcells a little too much credit in this case, though, Larry.
Oh, but I don't think he's that stupid not to know what Orthwine was doing. I mean, you guys.
But,
I
just don't understand what should he have done. I agree.
Belichick. And I don't think he's dumb enough not to realize what his job really was, whether it was a handshake and paper.
I do think that was his job, but I don't understand why that's held against him. His job is to make your organization legitimate enough that it could be perceived to be valuable.
No,
that's a coach's job.
Yeah, it's not his job to make them better so they can move. It's his job to make them better. Period.
That's who he was working for.
Well, I'll tell you, when Kraft bought the team,
I'm sorry, it would have been better if we got a guy who said, "You know what? I'm gonna be like Dick McPherson. I'm gonna continue to make us 1-15, so we can't move."
No.
Rod Rust.
What he achieved was wonderful, but the reason he achieved it, I disagree.
Okay. So Larry,
if you think that Bill Parcells achieved anything for anybody other than Bill Parcells? That's all that Bill Parcells is about, Larry.
All right, so
I'll tell you something, Larry.
Right there, Paul. I don't want this man in my.
Yeah, no, and I'm not arguing with you. Just like I said to John earlier, the email that we had, I understand why fans feel like that. That's why I argued with Tom Curran when Tom Curran said that he said Parcells would win in a ballot over anybody.
Curran never liked Bledsoe.
But I think this is not about Bledsoe. This is about his view of
Parcells.
Okay, so Larry,
I think there's a lot of people like Larry who would not vote for Parcells.
So let me
over
ask
anybody.
Let me ask you this, Larry.
I wouldn't vote for him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Sure.
I wouldn't vote for him in the Patriots.
All right, let me ask you this, Larry. If Orthwine hadn't made public his intentions to move the team to St. Louis.
I don't know if he ever made him public.
Well, but you know what I mean. If the word hadn't gotten out there.
If I knew it and I was
all right.
Parcells
not. Let me ask the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If people didn't know that Orthwine had any intention of moving the team and Parcells was still hired and did what he did, would you feel differently about Parcells? If you didn't know that there was the possibility that they would move, would you feel differently?
Okay, let's put it this way. If Joe Schmo had bought the team, all right, from St. Louis, from New Hampshire, okay, and Parcells came in and made the team what it was and everything else happened the way it did, I wouldn't mind voting him in.
Okay. I think.
No, that's interesting. No, I mean, let's just say that Kraft bought the team in 93. Right. And all the red tape that was cleared up in 94 was cleared up in 93, and Kraft brought Parcells here. He would vote him.
He would vote him in.
Yeah, I see.
It's interesting.
If anything, I have more problems with the way Parcells left than the way he
came.
I didn't like the way he left.
As much of a fan of Parcells.
Liked the way he left.
Yeah, I have a problem with how he left.
You know, and I'll tell you, this is a true story.
Am.
When the Krafts bought the team, they were in their office celebrating, and the phone rings. It's Bill Parcells. And, you know, he congratulated the Krafts on buying the team and said right there, I don't know if I want to come back. And the Krafts are like, you know, Robert Kraft's like, what are you talking to? You know, I don't know. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're really what your motive, you know.
But isn't that fair?
If you're into this, and Kraft kind of had to sell himself to Parcells. Like, are you kidding me? Winning is number one. That's all we want to do. And after Parcells heard that, he's like, okay, I'll come back.
But you don't think if Robert Kraft sold the team tomorrow, Belichick might say, just so you know, we need to talk.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying.
I think he would do that. But any coach with any respectable resume.
Right.
Now, if you needed the job, if you're.
We get you. But what I'm saying.
I don't think that's a black mark against Parcells.
No, but what I'm saying is. But Larry's saying he came in for one purpose. Well, he had a chance to leave, and he didn't.
Right.
He stayed.
Right.
That's my point about.
I think he stayed because he probably felt good about where they were going. He's like, we can do this.
If he was hell-bent on getting the team to St. Louis,
he would have
left. When Kraft bought the team, and it was apparent he was keeping it here.
Oh, I don't think it would have been in the would have liked to have gone to St. Louis. I think it was just to create the team so it could go. I mean, I can't see him.
But he stayed.
Great Plains.
But he stayed. Is the point?
Yeah, but it's an East Coast team. It has.
So you're arguing against yourself there.
He's arguing with you.
And I'm kind of enjoying this.
All right, thanks,
his ass,
Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
John writes in, for those that think Parcells is a Patriot Hall of Fame coach, would you say the same thing for Raymond Berry? He was here longer, brought a team to a Super Bowl. Not saying we should not recognize him, just saying what he did was not Patriot Hall of Fame worthy. Maybe
if he had won the
Super Bowl.
I think his time here is underrated.
A lot of people, by the way, brought this up during the meeting that Fred and I were at, and Raymond Berry did receive a lot of consideration. We talked about the three coaches, Fairbanks, Berry, and Parcells. Fairbanks and Parcells both left under bad situations. Fairbanks took the job at Colorado, sort of undercut the Patriots' playoff run in 78, left under terrible terms. Parcells, we all know that because we were all, we all went through it. Berry, Jim Donaldson, was adamantly passionately speaking in favor of. For a lot of those reasons, he did these same kinds of things that the other guys did.
Mm-hmm.
He built a good football team, got him to the Super Bowl, and had some success, but yet didn't have this cloud of controversy when he left.
Mm-hmm.
So you make your pick.
I think he's underrated.
That's the best part of this. So
it's
subjective.
It is subjective. Fairbanks, I give a pass on for the same reason with the
Billy Sullivan
thing.
Absolutely.
You know, anything that happened during Billy Sullivan,
I give
the people a pass on.
Any sane person would have acted the way Fairbanks did.
Yeah.
In having to deal with Billy Sullivan, who just may have been a passionate guy and a good guy at heart.
Right.
And had his heart in the right place, just didn't have enough money to have a professional football team.
Right.
And he never did from the moment he had it. And what did he end up lasting, 30 years?
It was a constant struggle for him. I mean, he tried to sell stock, you know, that whole thing.
And then the whole thing, completely went under for him in the 80s with the Michael Jackson
victory tour.
Winning.
Rich in Minneapolis.
Find a way to lose money on that.
Right now, they're both in heaven arguing it out. You should have come.
I didn't want to come. I would have come, but the town of Foxborough wouldn't let me in.
Richard, Minneapolis, I'm just wondering, is there a coaches union? If there is, why aren't they striking or disbanding? I would assume the low-level coaches are in the same financial situation as the low-level players, so they should be looking for a piece of this $9 billion pie too, right? Do the coaches get paid during the lockout if they have no one to coach? Thanks for the info.
They don't have a union.
They do not have a union. Larry Kennan, who used to be the offensive coordinator here, left when they brought in Ernie Zampezi, has been the biggest
advocate
of coaches and trying to, if not form a union, at least some type of association that would speak up for these guys. Every coaching staff is in a different predicament right now. Some teams are, you know, paying them less. Some are just business as usual. I think the Patriots is just the same as it has been. But, I mean, if it gets into the summer, I would imagine these guys are going to hurt. And it's unfortunate because they're stuck in the middle just like we are.
And I will say, just as a point of clarification, low-level coaches don't have it as well off as low-level players.
Yeah, not at all.
They don't make as much as the minimum.
No, that's a good point.
Not even close.
No.
That's a tough existence, being a coach. Mm-hmm. You're tied to the success of your head coach. If he leaves, you hear about
the coordinator who may make $1 million or something like that, but you don't really hear about the assistant offensive line coach who's lucky to pull in six figures.
Or the coaching assistant.
Who doesn't
pull in anywhere near six figures.
No.
Derek from University of Arizona chimes in. Hey, guys. And Eric. Fred, I totally understand the cheap tequila reference, especially after Thursday night. Paul, where are your pants? What? Oh, looks like your wife has them. Oh, I get it.
You get it.
When you spread it out like that, it's harder to understand.
Just playing, Paulie, but that is kind of sad.
Oh, it was fun. It was very funny. It was more of a joke than Andy is kind of making it out to be, but it was very funny and definitely worthy of me getting made fun of.
And yes, Andy, number 17 is way too early for Brooks Reed. Pro Football Talk is so hit and miss, it's ridiculous. Like I said a few weeks ago, Reed is the prospect being punched up by fans in the media. Not only Reed, but now Ricky Elmore has begun generating buzz. He certainly has the size and some strong family bloodlines, but is more of a hustle guy. I wouldn't mind him in the late third or fourth round. Anyway, have a good one.
Yeah, he's just a guy, Elmore.
Just a guy.
But according to reports,
looks like he has some numbers.
Don't know why we don't report this.
People are talking about
is,
him.
Well, he's terrible. I mean, he runs like a 4.940. He's
no, I mean, his
he
height,
sucks.
His height, weight.
Yeah, but if you can't run, you can't play.
Ricky Elmore.
I don't know why we're not reporting this, but according to Mike Reese, Elmore's father or stepfather is a subscriber to Patriots Football Weekly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Len? What's his first name?
Len Elmore.
Yeah, it's Len Elmore.
Who's Len Elmore?
Basketball player.
Hall of Famer.
And broadcaster.
But yeah, I saw that in a little Mike Reese. Because Mike, for some reason, has been on the Elmore notes.
Did
of
you
late.
Just say what? Little Mike Reese?
By the way, I'm in the
that
car.
That was very odd.
I'm in the car on Saturday, and I'm listening to the college basketball. And it's
the college basketball.
It's the Kansas VCU game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kevin Harlan is doing the call.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, my God. That guy works hard on the radio.
He's no Gus Johnson.
He's working it. I mean, it's like he's calling a horse race, and or doing an auction.
An auction.
It's unbelievable how hard this guy works on the radio.
Well, I guess, and I didn't hear this on live, but on the Wino line yesterday, they were on EEI. They were saying on the Saturday game, the Florida Butler game,
cut
out at literally in the waning seconds.
No,
it was
so you missed Gus Johnson.
Butler up three. Florida's last chance to come down court. Five seconds, four seconds. Welcome to Red Sox baseball.
Oh, my God.
That's how we're off the air.
And they were claiming it's all automated.
It was automated or something. But
time comes. It's just happening. No one pushes a button.
Oh, my God.
That was...
Yeah, they went with the Chris Ferrer excuse.
And I guess it really happened.
It's probably some idiot like me who just figured what the hell and pressed the button.
And the Providence, it was the Providence station that did it.
So no one noticed.
See, that's not good for the Red Sox because you're listening, and now all of a sudden you hate the Red Sox right then and there. It's not
no,
good.
You don't.
They're all a bunch of Fred Kirsches that automatically start hating the Red Sox.
Fred writes in, well, here we are 3 weeks into the NFL lockout and 3 weeks into my NFL boycott. Life as good. I once knew it has come to a standstill. My eyes have been opened to a whole new world. This past week, as I was reading my latest issue of PFW and was very pleased to find out that it looks like Steve Grogan has a few good years left in him and that the Pats are showing interest in a wide receiver named Fryer out of Nebraska with the number one pick. I sure hope that turns out well. As long as they stay away from that bum Carl Banks out of Michigan, we'll be fine. Also, could there ever be a better place to play football than old good old Sullivan Stadium in the family atmosphere?
The family atmosphere.
Much like the car wreck that it is, I find myself unable to keep my eyes away from this past episode of Celebrity Apprentice. I know I told you last week that I was somewhat puzzled to see Bill Belichick on the show until I found out it was actually Meatloaf. But this week, I thought I was in for a real battle royal when I saw that Bill Polian is also on the show. But once again, I found myself disappointed in finding out it was actually Gary Busey. But alas, life goes on. All is not lost, however. I decided to take up fantasy soccer, knowing that this would be right in Paul's wheelhouse. I'm wondering what his pointers might be to help me bring home the goal. And on a side note,
I think goals are big in fantasy soccer. Yeah.
On a
well,
side,
they can't be.
Goals are like gold.
On a they side, can't be important.
Well, you got nothing else to go with.
Yeah. On a side
corners,
note,
we should
I was,
talk about the
corners are big.
On a Shots side note, I was wondering his thoughts on this past weekend's England versus Wales Euro 2012 qualifier. Two goals were scored in a 2-0 England blowout. Blech. Anyway, I have to go now. The curling game is about to start on TV, and I have to set up my DVR. I can't watch that and the Cricket World Cup at the same time, Cricket so I'll be World watching Cup. Curling later. Fred and his boycott.
You don't know blowouts until you see the Man U Revs game on July something, 13th.
Well, the Revs actually won their home opener over the weekend, 2-1 over
on a cheap goal.
The goalie. United.
I mean, did you see the chocolate on that goalie's wrists?
Oh, is that right? What does that mean?
We talked to a soccer expert, a member of the Revs organization.
Yes.
Yesterday, talking about there was some controversial goals that the U.S., not the U.S., the Revs scored.
It was a handball.
Andy was talking about how there was a penalty kick, and the goalie guessed right but still didn't make the save, and Andy thinks that's ridiculous.
The goalie guessed low and left, dove, and just didn't – too much chocolate on his wrist.
Andy said he had – he goes – he and the member of the Revs organization said –
I don't know what that means.
You still – even if you guess right, you're still going to score more often than not. And he said, although – the goalie did have some chocolate on his wrists on that one.
What does that mean, though?
I don't know.
I just
we wanted
around.
To ask you.
Why nice chocolate, bubble. Not honey? Or is it mean mud? Or
I don't
think
have any
like
idea.
Like it slipped off his hands?
I don't know. Yeah, I
why
just
not
like
grease
it?
Or, yeah, or oil?
Butterfingers.
Yeah.
Why is it alligator arms, not lobster
chocolate
arms?
Chocolate on his wrist. I don't know.
And for the record as well, I was speculating how badly Man U will beat the Revs because last year Man U beat the
All-Stars.
MLS All-Stars 5-2. Yeah. Was not the first team Manchester United squad last year with the reserves that wiped the field with the All-Stars. So I'm looking for double-digit goals.
And
10-0.
We were told the only thing that would prevent that.
Was it Matt Reese?
Yeah.
He's the goalie, right?
The only thing that would prevent that would likely be
the high ones would be a problem.
The low ones would be kind of a trouble.
Would be likely the only way that wouldn't
happen. Wouldn't be a friendly.
It's a friendly.
It'd be an unfriendly.
You see the tickets for that? Going on sale in that interested tiered three different ways. Season ticket holders first.
I'll come watch that.
$50 a pop.
If you can guarantee me that I'm going to see the first stringers of Man U.
Yeah, I think that makes
I wouldn't
difference.
Know. That does make a difference.
Yeah. I wouldn't have any idea either.
I know either way they're going to be better than the Revs, and it's going to be a dog.
Well, they got
the
that
Revs.
One kid, Dooley. Or
Dwayne Rooney.
Rooney?
Yes.
Rooney.
Do they have the Hart guy? What team?
Joe Hart? No, he's on another team, I think.
I think, because, Liverpool is now owned by or partly owned. Well, they're
fully
owned by
Fenway Sports Group.
I think the Patriots should adopt Man U as their sister soccer team.
But it's Tampa Bay.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. They're
owned by Tampa Bay. Liverpool is owned by the Red Sox people.
Right, Liverpool. That's what I said.
But Manchester United is owned by the Glazers.
Oh, I thought they were selling them.
Well, I think they're being forced to because they're in debt up to their eyeballs.
So. Kind of like Paul Perillo.
They lost like $150 million last year, which is like equivalent to their payroll.
At English premieres, that's a tough league. All that European side, there's no cap.
Yeah, that
it's
Barclays.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And you're competing against teams from all over the world, not just in your league. These guys can go anywhere.
Yeah, but they spend more than anybody. They don't have to spend more than everybody.
No, I mean, but Manchester United is like the number, besides
they're
the Yankees.
Yankees. They're the Yankees of of European
They're spending
soccer.
Significantly more than everybody and losing money, so it's their problem. Get back into reality. Spend within your means. A lesson this whole world needs to learn, including your president.
I was just glad that he didn't have a tea time yesterday and address the Libya situation.
I like
he
how
came
his
on early because he wanted to go to dinner with his wife.
His chalk bracket went down in flames, too.
Yeah,
well, he's an idiot.
He's Chad Reuter all of a sudden?
Yes. The president does not need to be doing a live bracket on TV.
That's uncalled for, though.
No, it isn't.
He's the president.
Certainly the woman's have
little,
bracket.
Have a little respect.
You mean he's got enough time to do both a men's and a ladies bracket on TV?
Have a little respect for the office.
No.
We don't need to
they
be.
Should take away his Nobel Peace Prize. Well, that's a... I mean, come on.
Yemi from Texas. Is it fair to...
Fred is clearly off the Obama bandwagon because he no longer defends him.
We took three shots right there and he refused to...
You're off him.
I'm just not going to get into it with, you know...
Ignorant like yourself.
Uninformed. Yemi from Texas.
Well, you know what? I am uninformed, and I have a question for you. Did you watch any of him last night?
Yes, I did, in its entirety.
Okay. He mentioned something about the strategy for Libya right now and why it's important to do this and learning our lessons from Iraq. And he said, you know, we got involved for 8 years. It took 8 years for a regime change in Iraq. I'm paraphrasing here. And it wound up being very costly in terms of American lives. Thousands of American lives were lost and trillions of dollars.
Choked on it.
Now, I think that all that's true, and I think no one would really argue that the whole situation with Iraq was handled perfectly. No one would argue that. But what would the cost have been had we done nothing? I mean, I would have liked to have seen him talk about options that we had.
You mean for Iraq?
Yeah. I mean, what are some of the options? I mean, again, I don't know. I'm not pretending to know as much about this stuff as you do.
Look, I supported going in, but if we had known that there weren't any weapons of mass destruction, we wouldn't have gone in.
No, but then what would we have done, and what would the situation be today?
We would have
might we have lost another 5,000 people in some sort of additional attack?
I think I think what they would have done is continue to use diplomatic and economic sanctions against.
So hope it goes away, like we did in the previous regime before Bush.
What goes away?
The problem.
The problem was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction, and he didn't.
Okay, but do we have a problem that was costing us lives? Yes. Maybe it wasn't the exact problem that we went in and targeted, but there was something that was going on.
We thought he had weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, so we're just going to go with that and leave it at that.
But that was the reason they gave us.
Thing. Okay.
I think that's really overrated.
I think it's ridiculously overrated.
Was an airplane not a weapon of mass destruction?
Exactly.
Didn't it create mass destruction
and
kill thousands?
But again,
that could have happened the next month if we chose to do nothing.
Whoa. That had nothing to do with Iraq.
No, but any little weapon, if you have enough of them,
here we go,
is a weapon of mass destruction. Guns, if you have 10,000 men with guns, they become a weapon of mass destruction.
What are you saying? We go after every country that has ever said
that we believe is a threat to us? Yes.
And that's my point.
That's ridiculous.
Listen,
that's the way I feel. If you're a threat to us,
we're going to be constantly at war with every country
that's a threat to us.
What do you consider
a threat?
That has an airplane?
If they are not an ally, if they are opposed to our views
and
our way of life,
Saddam was
they have an airplane, we go after them.
If we have to, yes.
What is it? What do you
just
mean
because he
to?
Doesn't have one big bomb, I don't say, he's fine.
But what do you
he's
mean?
Fine.
What do you mean if we have to?
If we have to.
What does that mean, though?
If there is the belief that there is a danger to us. And when I say us, I mean us England,
so any country,
us France,
yes, your
us
allies, right.
In a big picture word,
the world,
U.S.
The world. Yes.
So
world.
Any country that has any ill will, criticizes us, that has any weapons, we go after them.
Not criticizes. Believe that they are targeted.
You're making it sound like they called us a name in the schoolyard.
Right.
But I'm he just wondering.
Yes, I do.
You don't think Saddam was
danger,
a legitimate
that's
danger
that's
the
to
bar,
us.
The threat.
Do you think Saddam was a legitimate threat or not?
No.
You don't.
You don't think he was?
And we can stop arguing.
And it's been proven that he wasn't.
We can stop arguing.
No, it hasn't.
I don't know how
it was proven.
I don't know how you prove that.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Or he got them out of the country in time.
Well, but even if he didn't, I believe anything can be a weapon of mass destruction.
And
the intent to do harm is the weapon of mass destruction.
But
see, you'll find a way.
Here's the point, Fred. You think you proved that he wasn't a threat.
This argument.
I think, and I think Andy would probably agree, that we proved, we stopped him from being a threat.
Oh, but certainly stop them.
I think there's certainly two different ways of looking at it.
But at what point do you draw that line where you're going to keep doing that type of stuff?
As the information comes in, you make decisions.
Right.
I think the bar is pretty much set when you're a dictator who's killing your own people, you deserve to be killed and gotten out of office.
Right. I mean,
and that's what he was doing.
And I think what Obama was saying
the explanation that Bush gave was probably not the best explanation. He probably should have said, we think he has weapons of mass destruction. And, by the way, he's a dictator who kills his own people. That's reason enough to get the world behind you.
But there's a lot of those people out there.
Right, but that's the reasoning
for... But how many of those are a threat to us?
You don't think,
and he was making
now. You don't think Iraq was a threat to us?
I
do.
It's true that it was proven that he wasn't at the end.
No, that's not.
We thought he was.
That's not true.
He was making threats.
You have no idea.
And he
what
was
he
saying
would have done
he had a program
him.
And all this stuff. He was making threats, legitimate threats.
I mean, should we be going after Iran right now?
Yes, we should have done it in 2009 when half the population was rioting to get him out of there.
I think what
and by us again, I don't mean the United States.
Everybody, exactly.
Coalition.
Everybody. Right. Exactly.
Well, that's I'm with different. Andy. We should blow everybody
up. But
and that's the problem is that
how you
we
a
have
world power.
But everybody wants our help, but no one wants to help us.
I agree
and that's
with
part
that.
Of the problem. We have to fix everybody in the world's mess.
I agree with that.
Except now and France wants to take the lead, and Obama said, yeah, sure, go ahead, France.
I think well, that'll.
We found someone who's a bigger wuss than the French.
Let them all over.
That's a good one.
Sure, come on. And I'm exaggerating all our listeners.
Everybody made fun of Bush.
I'm exaggerating to prove a point.
Everybody made fun of Bush when he had this coalition of the willing, and, you know, Turkey gave us two people, and somebody gave us a medical pack, and they were making fun of Bush, and now. And now Obama does get it done, and they make fun of him for France do it.
No, I'm not making fun of Obama at all.
Eric was just making fun of him.
We were joking about
The French,
about the French
and Obama.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah. Look, but in all seriousness, it should all be coalition.
Exactly. You want to
just be us.
I don't care who it is.
Absolutely.
I'm not
others invested.
See, you misunderstood this. I'm not making fun of Obama for what he said last night. I was posing the alternative to what Obama said.
And I think what Obama was saying last night is, you know, first of all, he's saying people criticize, well, why aren't you going into Yemen? Why aren't you going to Somalia? You know, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you shouldn't do something.
Somalia might need to be addressed, by the way, at some point.
So this nonsense needs to be put an end to.
I think
China needs to be addressed.
I think that's one.
Getting a little worried about them.
And Russia, by the way.
Okay. So that I think that's one.
Oh, you're not worried about China?
I think that's one thing that.
Have you seen any of the things China's done? But you just
so we're going to declare war on China.
No, I didn't say that. But we need to be very aware of what they're doing.
He's right. I think we are, but
I'm not sure we are.
Okay, I think they're on our radar.
Your guy,
but
France, you take care of China.
I think the other thing that Obama was saying last night was that, you know, you look at these things, and when the opportunity is there, when you think it's realistic and you can achieve your goal, yeah, you should do it. You know, ideally, you don't do it alone.
Right.
You should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't rule out doing it alone, by the way. He said there will be times where we'll have to do it alone. And I think in Libya, he recognized that this was an opportunity. The guy was killing his own people. It was,
it took him long enough to realize it, though.
What, a couple weeks?
Yes. That would have made a big difference.
Eric, I don't think a couple weeks is that long to create the coalition that he had.
There was already a coalition. The Arab League had voted. They were asking for help.
And as soon as
and he waited 2 weeks
and
after that.
As soon
that.
As the United...
In his defense, he did play golf twice during that time.
and as soon
now
as
that's a shot.
And as soon as the United
two brackets.
Nations... As soon as United Nations voted on it, they acted.
But they, the UN was... And the French and the British were poking at Obama, saying, hurry up,
and
let's go, we're running out of time.
As soon as the United Nations acted on it, they went.
They were pressuring him from the start.
It's
and he
like
was,
no matter what he does, it's you know, 2 weeks.
It's wrong.
Oh, it's too long.
Oh, and you don't think this is the same as the previous 8 years?
Yeah. Everything he did was wrong, too.
So two wrongs make a right?
No, the problem is the whole party system.
Two rights
I mean, that's what's going to happen.
I agree with you. People are
Bush spent 8 years getting killed for everything he did.
People
Obama's now spending
first.
Four getting killed for everything
people
he does.
Right.
People put party first and not country first.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I apologize for...
We've reached that point in the show.
To another show.
Everyone's complaining on the
You
on,
see, you didn't get, you didn't take the bait the first time, so I had to try
We have to have at least one of these in off-season, though. We always have one of these really in-depth political arguments.
This is for
gets
the French.
People mad at us.
Pussy and all that. somebody sends us an Urban Dictionary
defusing
definition
the bomb.
Of
good
chocolate
job,
on the wrist. I don't. I,
oh, I don't think that's what he
I
meant
don't
by
know
it.
That.
Let's erase that
is
one.
Is that ever being elbow deep in a zebra's vagina?
Who was the
not the vagina though, Paul?
Who was the draft prospect who got in trouble? I assume we're aligning ourselves with the...
What?
For
what?
Right?
Really?
Remember there was a draft prospect who was involved with some fistful of money ink?
Oh.
No, I'm dead serious. There
I
was
don't
a,
remember.
It may have been a rumor.
He doesn't
more
even
than
remember
report,
tequila.
But.
Andy in Ireland says, hey, guys, in the New Orleans Vin Diesel impersonator.
love
the show.
Vin Diesel
oh, really?
Is little,
thank
right?
You.
Isn't he like 5'5"?
Yeah,
I don't know. Is he?
Yeah, he's really short.
Is he really?
Bigger than you.
They do a good job in the movies to make him look
all
big.
Those movie stars. Tom Cruise, they're all tiny.
Chocolate
Tom
wrist.
Cruise looks tiny.
Chocolate. No, I know, but they put him on boxes. They look like Adam Schefter.
Well, Humphrey Bogart, they used to build a trench for his leading female
friend of the show,
actor.
By the way.
She would be in a trench
oh,
while
really?
They walked next to each other so that he would be the same height as her.
That stuff's awesome.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah. Imagine that. You're the guy, the ditch
the
digger.
Leading man.
Who has to no, but I'm thinking,
I'm going to make this jackass look good on film. You're digging a ditch.
Right, instead of putting like a little platform for the...
Or instead of him just looking a little shorter, sorry.
Chocolate wrist
or cast
means
a shorter
that the shot
actress.
Was too powerful that it couldn't be stopped and just knocked the goalkeeper's hands out of the way. The wrists are fragile, looking similar to chocolate would be if it hit got hit with a shot.
I don't think it even hit his hands.
That's Andy from Ireland. I'm not buying that. Yeah, why chocolate?
We need to get clarification.
Well,
because
chocolate is solid but breaks easily, especially the hollow ones, the bunnies. Like they crumble.
Well, then it's not solid.
That is true.
It crumbles easily, so I can kind
of
see.
You think this is a nice piece of chocolate, but there's nothing
solid,
to it.
Yeah.
It's hollow.
Not solid. It's
no,
hollow.
But those hollow ones.
Well, that's not solid.
But that's the
you
impression.
Get on those
it looks
ones.
Like it's a big solid bunny, and then and this goalie looks like he's going to stop
just see
it.
Oh, bunny! Oh, it broke. And he cries.
Oh yeah. There's a big difference between the hollow and the solid.
Oh, there
quickly,
is.
How quickly we've
solid.
Gone to talking about killing dictators to chocolate.
Well, it's almost Easter.
That's the beauty of us.
It's almost Easter.
Declare war on China or buy a solid chocolate. Bunny.
But we limited
bring
it to
some
5
Cadbury
minutes.
Eggs, will
yes,
you?
Right? We moved on.
Do you know they have chocolate covered peeps now? I haven't had them yet. I want
to
try them.
Indy wants to bomb everybody that
chocolate
makes
peeps.
Those
peeps. You know
the little foam marshmallow.
So pure as
wow.
Easter candy.
Oh, peeps are terrible.
Well, that's why the chocolate. Awesome. I'm intrigued. If there was a white chocolate covered peep,
you like white chocolate now?
Those
cookies.
The Cadbury chocolate eggs are good. The little mini eggs.
The mini ones or the cream eggs?
No.
Oh, you don't want the cream.
The cream eggs are really good. Too much, but they're good.
I don't like
overly sweet, but yummy.
Ross from Glasgow says, men of PFW and Andy. I'm not sure about Iraq
it,
and the reasons for war, but Andy's
blow
statements
you up
about
too.
If you were against us, then we would attack them is way over the top. He's forgetting his Star Wars Episode 3 line. Anakin Skywalker, otherwise known as Darth Vader, if you are not with me, then you are my enemy. Obi-Wan's response, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
It's the Four Horsemen. If you're not with
Jesus
us, you're
Andy,
against us.
You are nuts. So.
You're either with us or you're against us. You see that new video game coming out? WWE All-Stars?
Yeah, I
you
saw
can
that.
Fight anybody all time. Yeah. Like,
they just had a
tremendous.
Commercial for it.
With Warrior
and Andre
and everybody.
The Giant.
Has that been out for
and
a little
Big
bit?
Big Show and Andre the
oh,
Giant.
Oh, is it coming out?
I think it's coming out.
Okay, because my nephew.
Pre-order, I think.
Will and my nephew played some wrestling thing the other day, and it was pretty cool.
I like
it.
The wrestling
I'm
games.
Not real happy that Will's starting to understand who the wrestler is. He's like, he called himself John Cena the other day.
You should get WrestleMania this week.
As he jumped off the coffee table onto my
you
back.
You can't see me? You can't see me? WrestleMania's this weekend. Get it for him.
No.
Why?
Is that what that is when they
yeah, you can't see me. You can't see me. Huh. You wave your hand in front of your face.
Right? I thought it was a Beyonce imitation. Isn't that what she does?
Beyonce?
Yeah.
Chocolate wrists. The Beyonce.
I don't like to get my wrists chocolate.
Beyonce. Oh, my God.
Keith in Central Florida.
Undertaker
hey guys.
Going for his 19th straight win at WrestleMania. Never lost at WrestleMania. 18-0.
Hey, guys,
Triple H.
I can make the argument that
Cerebral
if Parcells
assassin.
Never coached this time, they may not have drafted Drew Bledsoe or even stayed in New England. All the real Pats fans that follow this team when they were 1-15 remember how we were the laughing stock of the NFL. Sullivan Stadium would be one-third to one-fifth full at best. When Parcells was hired, the place sold out for every game, even before Kraft. In my opinion, Parcells saved this franchise. If the rejuvenated interest in the team with the fair-weathered fans, Kraft may not have bought the team, as it would have been a losing investment with no fans showing up to games. Parcells changed all that. I was devastated when he left, as I knew the possibility of going back and winning a Super Bowl just vanished. Well, you were wrong, but that's okay. But I get the point.
Yeah, there's a little exaggeration of the truth in that, but the overall premise is accurate. I think there is a possibility that Robert wouldn't have bought the team if not for the stability of having a franchise coach and a franchise quarterback.
You know,
that had to have made it more palatable to make that chance.
At
take
the
that
time,
chance.
Kraft spent the most for any team.
Yeah, it was a big financial risk,
which is just unbelievable.
But imagine doing
he bought
that.
The New England Patriots would play in crappy Foxborough.
Right.
Well, I'm going to just money. Invest more. Terrible business move, by the way. It worked out for him, but I don't know how if you were a business like reporter
I'll
at
bet
the
you,
time.
I'll bet you it's one of those rare times that you look and you say when you let your heart get involved in your business decisions. Usually you get burned.
Right. But I wonder what people were saying back then. Business writers.
Oh, I think people were killing him. Freddie, you would know, wouldn't you?
Because the option kind of press, was,
yeah,
was
how much, back when you were one of the crafts,
was,
sons, no?
$75 million or you pay to take over, right? He could have taken cash out of it or invest a boatload into it.
I think it was $70 million he was offered to get out of his lease. Right?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
And he said,
no,
I'm going to pay the most ever.
I'm going to give you
for a crappy
three times
franchise,
what the franchise is worth.
Whose only calling card is Bill Parcells. Like, that's it.
And
you don't have a stadium.
And Drew
Bledsoe. But that was before they got Drew, right?
No.
Drew
no.
was here. It was the year after.
Yeah, they
it
bought
was
the
94,
team in 94.
He bought it in, okay. Yeah. Drew Bledsoe was.
But my point is.
But he was the number one overall pick.
They had a franchise coach. They had a franchise coach and
no
obviously
Jamarcus
a quarterback who had shown that he had some sort of flash.
A little.
And people were getting excited. Don't forget, in 93, they won their last four games.
Right, beat the Dolphins.
There was a flash.
You
there was a little bit of a buzz.
The Buffalo Bills. Oh, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, come on.
Really? Now he's
really?
Now he's just being.
This is how he wants to end the show.
Well,
want to go back to China?
Let's get back to Somalia.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Compared him to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
What's today? Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
So no, you can't end the way you like to
so,
end.
So we will be here Thursday with more news and stuff to talk about.
News, notes, and anecdotes.
It could go anywhere.
Notes,
we don't know.
Notes, anecdotes.
But we'll be back and we'll see you Thursday.
Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.